It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this 13th day of November 2020. It is Friday on the Front Porch. And a quick reminder, if you'd like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch discussion, run on over to headon.live. That is where you'll find the link at the top of the page. It's really obvious that you can then use to take you to the Old Holler Tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather for discussion each and every Friday, and some other days too as well. And at which Sparky holds forth and maintains order and discipline. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed to our 13th day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Greg, and thank you to Gary and Gaia. Thank you very much indeed for being partial sponsors of the program. And thank you kindly, because this was a real surprise. Thank you to Scott. Thank you, Scott. I hope you know to whom I'm making reference. Thank you very kindly for the Have a Show on Me. That was tremendous. That means that the fundraising goal for this evening is just down to a hopefully manageable $340. Thank you as well to Brother Deacon Asa. I'm sorry, that's $330. So, get this, a challenge. Courtesy of Rico in the blissful fall in the Berg, that would be the Pittsburgh. Rico said, I want to put up a $50 challenge for tonight, and if it's met, I'll put up another $25. Come on, Horn community. Our sanity depends on it. Love and peace to all. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so very much indeed. So if that gets met, that would be, that would take us down to $205 to go, which would be huge. So there's a $50 no-name challenge on the table, courtesy of Rico in DeBerg, where apparently it was a lovelier day than it was here today, because it was just kind of gray. But tomorrow is supposed to be nice, ish. And I'm thinking maybe tomorrow, what might I get up to? I'll check at Walmart and see if they've got any fresh tomatillos in, and maybe work on the chili verde, because the chili roja is turning out to be awfully damn good. It just gets better day after day after day. But the chili verde with tomatillos and jalapenos and maybe some roasted poblanos, and whew, that could be super. We'll see how it plays out. And of course, let's see here, Bob. Let's get the program started right. Last night's show was another beauty, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to Agnes, Bob, and Dan Fisher and their radio play, Best Friend, a one-act play with Coda, then please go to headon.live and consider contributing before going to the bottom for one of the podcasts. Last night was terrific and to the point. One part of the conversation that I found interesting was when Dan was discussing Steve's approach to the non-mask-wearing maggots in the local Walgreens. Steve said that he would just speak very loudly to his lovely wife, Karen, so the maggots could hear him say, "Hey, Karen, can you believe all the people in this place that are not wearing masks?" And then, Bob, you said, "Well, you might be inviting a conversation you don't want to have." Dan replied, "Well, Steve could just say to eavesdropping maggots, why are you listening to the conversation between me and my wife?" I disagreed with Dan on that one, because if a person is speaking very loudly, that person is inviting others to engage with them. This reminded me of the Hollaback church ladies that day at the restaurant that were just a-praying for their beloved President Donald J. Trump to be reelected and that God would protect and lead him. Yes, when half the restaurant can hear an individual speaking, then, as I view it, you're intentionally inviting all within earshot to engage in that conversation. What's that, Jeffrey? You see, I say, "What's that, Jeffrey," very loudly so everybody on the horn can hear me as an invitation to engage. Giraffrey says, "Steve should just reply to the little mask-hole rascals should they approach him with something like this. I noticed you were not wearing a mask, so I speak really loudly because obviously you're deaf and dumb." See what Giraffrey did there, Bob? I do. And speaking of painfully dumb, I went to the chiropractor's office where my wife works yesterday, and I was seated across the room from an obvious maggot as she was waiting for her adjustment. She was full of QAnon sense. QAnon sense. See what he did there? I did. She was full of QAnon sense as she said to me, "Can you believe that 300 dead people actually voted for Joe Biden?" "No, I really can't believe that 300 dead people voted for anybody. But you know what I really can't believe? That 71 million brain-dead people voted for Trump." Zing! Zow! Pow! Whack! Yeah. Bob, you probably remember the Reds pitcher Will McEnany. I do, from Springfield, Ohio. Didn't know that part. Not far from where Steve in New York grew up. Will McEnany was considered a junk ball pitcher, as he never threw very hard and would just throw a lot of shit to the batters and hope that they wouldn't hit it. Kind of reminds me of another McEnany who is currently throwing a bunch of shit at the battered White House press corps these days. And that, of course, is Kay Lyer McEnany. Her pitching has not gotten anybody out, but she is an outright liar. Oh, God. Every night. Every day. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says, "By the way, Kay Lyer McEnany's husband is a former Major League Baseball pitcher by the name of Sean Gilmartin from Moorpark, California, who attended Encino High School, not far from where our beloved Tracy lives." Yes, and Sean Gilmartin is a lefty pitcher, unlike his wife, who throws a bunch of shit from the right wing. Well, good job, Giraffrey. That's a nice point well made. McEnany, with a Christian cross hanging from her neck, is just spewing more bullshit than you could ever find in a bullpen. That's quality, too, but my bell ringing hand is getting weary. She's making ridiculous accusations and assertions that she knows are not true. White House Press Secretary McEnany on Thursday would not say when Donald J. Trump planned to speak publicly next. By the way, the J stands for jail. All right, it's not that sore. But McEnany indicated the president was stepping aside to allow the legal challenges to the election to play out. Yes, Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, "It's just too bad that Trump did not step aside earlier this year when the coronavirus broke out and allow Anthony Fauci and all the medical experts to handle the pandemic." And in the words of the famous baseball announcer Red Barber, "Oh, doctor!" Jeffrey is right again. Well, maybe Trump will come out and speak at the Maggot Million Man Moran March this Saturday in D.C. I wonder if the maggot halfwits will be flying their flags at half staff. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 13th day of November, with Giraffrey at the chiropractors, hoping this country can have a major adjustment. My God, if a giraffe goes to the chiropractor, that's an all-day appointment, isn't it? And by the way, Giraffe and Joey want to put a $50 Moran March challenge on the table. So that means we've got $100 worth of challenges. That knocks us down. That would knock us down to $130 to go. Two $50 challenges. And then the extra 25 from Rico. No. I'm ciphering poorly. 305. That takes us down to 205. 205. Thank you. Sometimes I'm just a little slow. Stop it, Bob, says Lee in New York. Stop telling us how tired your cowbell ringing hand is. I thought you were ambidextrous. Hey, easy there. There are occasionally children who listen to this program. And from Steve in New York, in case you didn't see it, but I suspect you did, Presidential Transition Live updates, Biden wins Georgia and Trump wins North Carolina as final states are called. Yeah, and Georgia has until Wednesday to finish their hand recount. And Nitwit Nero thinks that they're going to find 10,000 or make up 8,000 votes in Arizona Stan.
You know, if they just throw out the illegal ones, you know, the ones cast by Democrats, I'll win easily. Beautifully. Fabulously. Because what's happening to me is horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Now, just to get us started, by way of conversation, how do you view, or how do you, what do you consider the meaning to be of, I got a reminder from Lou. Thank you, Lou. Thank you for being on the ball with this. Remember, everybody, the special runoff election in Georgia is January 5th. November, if you are in Georgia, the first day you can request an absentee ballot is November the 18th. That is 5 days from now. That's Wednesday of next week, the same day that the recount has to be completed. So, as of Wednesday, you can request an absentee ballot. You can do it online, and then you can hand carry it to your local clerk's office or board of elections or whatever it is that Georgia has. Okay? And there will be early voting as well. If you're in Georgia, maybe help knock on some doors. If you're outside Georgia, and I'm going to look into it, do some phone banking. Especially, and I'm not taking away from anybody, but especially if you happen to talk like people happen to talk in Georgia. It carries a little more weight. It does. It carries a little more weight when they hear it, when people in Georgia hear it in their own language. So, but don't let that limit you. Help however you can. We can have the Senate of the United States, and we can have the added joy, the manifest happiness of watching Kamala Harris serve as president of the Senate and telling Mitch McConnell to sit down and shut up, assuming that Joe Manchin doesn't mugwump. God, Joe, please, please, haven't you learned from your Republican buddies that have marched into the buzzsaw and come back in tatters? Don't screw around with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's better at social media than you ever can dream of being. And whatever little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby you've hired as your social media manager is also no match for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She had a post, I think it was yesterday, go absolutely viral when Joe said that there wasn't going to be any of that crazy socialist stuff, not while he was a senator, a member of the Senate. No. Not going to have any of that. Yeah. When Joe said that, dang it. Nope. Joe tweeted, or some neo-maxi zoom dweeby on his staff tweeted, "Defund the police, defund my butt. I'm a proud West Virginia Democrat. We're the party of working men and women. We want to protect Americans' jobs and health care. We do not have some crazy socialist agenda, and we do not believe in defunding the police." And he gave an interview to a right-wing rag called the Washington Examiner, where he said he will not support ending the filibuster. And he said he will not support the idea of expanding the Supreme Court. Nobody's packing it. He used the term pack the court. No, it's expanding the court. And Joe is so goddamn stupid, you see, that he doesn't understand that it is the prerogative of Congress to determine what the size of the court will be, and that it has had 9 justices, 7 justices, 3 justices, 5 justices, 6 justices, 8 justices. And that it's at its current 9, having been fixed there by a Civil War Congress, so that they could make sure. You ever think about this? So that they could make sure when the South came back into the Union, they'd be able to get their legislative accomplishments upheld in the court, and that a bunch of conservative Southern former traitors to the country wouldn't be able to get it overturned or otherwise screwed with the way that the Chief Justice Roger Taney had in, say, for instance, the Dred Scott decision. And so Joe Manchin got savaged. There were memes going around of defunding Joe Manchin's butt. But the one that got all the attention, and thanks to our buddy John in PA for pointing this out to me, was a photo that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez posted of her right behind Joe Manchin during a State of the Union address when Joe Manchin stood up to clap for Nitwit Nero. And if looks could kill, the look coming from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would have sent Joe Manchin away in a great big pot as ceviche. Yeah, hillbilly ceviche. I know. Doesn't do much for me. I know. Well, there we are. There went dinner in the Eastern time zone. And sorry about the breakfast again this morning, Joy. These things happen. Oh, but Joe, quit. Just quit while you're behind. Before your behind gets defunded. Because the shade, Jesus, you probably had to pull out one of those Canada Goose parkas just to warm up from the shade that AOC threw over you. And if only we had more people in this state like the people who sent AOC to Congress, we would be in a significantly better place. Yep. Poor Joe. Poor Joe. Oh, well. Yeah, defund the butt, right. I wanted to ask the question, how do we view the word, or what meaning do we ascribe to the word? And it's a simple word. Several. What does several mean? I take it to mean a couple is two. These are small numbers, a couple. But it's not a huge number like a Google or Avogadro's number. It's somewhere between a couple and a bunch. And I ask because CNN tweeted recently that several members of the Secret Service have been diagnosed with the Rona, you know, the Don-demic, and are out of commission. They're either sick or they are quarantining because they're positive. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered how many that was. I think of usages of the word like the several states. Well, early in that phrase pops up early in the history of the country, and it continues to be used today. And so when someone speaks of the court as in, or when the court speaks of the United States and all of the states, they will say sometimes the several states. So we know that a several can be up to 50, right? Yeah. So several members of the Secret Service are either quarantined or down sick with COVID-19 because, well, COVID Caligula doesn't give a good goddamn about anyone but himself. The story I saw didn't mention whether any of those several Secret Service members were included the ones that were in the car with him for his ride and wave, in which he, if he was anybody else, could be charged with, say, trying to kill those Secret Service members in an act of bioterrorism, because that's what his ride and wave was, if indeed, in fact, he had the Rona. Mm-hmm. So I had to dig around a little bit more to find out just exactly what it was that CNN meant when they said several members of the Secret Service had come down sick. Several. Well, I did succeed. Apparently, in this case, several means somewhere around 11 dozen. Yeah. Because that's what's being reported by the Washington Post. More than 130 Secret Service officers are now in quarantine because they've either tested positive for COVID-19 or had exposure to a coworker who tested positive. The inner circle of the White House has had at least 40 people, which is also several, who have been infected. Yeah. And the Washington Post says that the infections in the Secret Service are believed to be partly linked to a series of campaign rallies that President Trump held in the weeks before the November 3rd election, according to the people who, like others interviewed for this report, spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe the situation. Yeah, Let's see. 10% of 130 is 13. 1% of 130 is 1.3. So it is not unusual, or it is not unthinkable, to suggest that there is a likelihood, a statistical possibility at the very least, that Donald Trump will have killed one of his own Secret Service members. And just from a historical standpoint, one fucks with one's Praetorian cohort at one's peril. It's worth remembering that it was the Praetorian cohort who, having finally grown sick and tired of the insanity of the emperor that we know as Caligula, they pulled out, several of them did, pulled out their gladii. That's the little short Roman sword. Terribly effective at, stabbing in close quarters. And that's how Claudius became emperor. But no matter how vile, no matter how awful his behavior is, I never cease to be amazed at his ability, and maybe I should cease to be amazed, but I never cease to be amazed at his ability to be even more toxic, even more psychotic, even more dangerous than he already is. And I was reminded of the story because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tied into him over his gross disregard for the well-being of the people who protect his life. She tweeted earlier today, "Unbelievable. The GOP doesn't even care for the lives of the people protecting theirs." Well, they don't, but it is believable because, the only lives that the GOP appears to care about are Donald Trump and fetuses. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa says, when dining on Joe Manchin ceviche, does one need to concern oneself with byproducts such as toe cheese and or foreskin? Asking for a fellow cannibal, for fellow cannibalism, devil-worshipping demoncrats. Well, it's entirely a matter of taste, Brother Deacon. You might want some of that good, for sopping the juice. You might want some of that good bread from Country Club Bakery in Fairmont, West Virginia, not too far from Joe's old stomping grounds. That was noisy. That was my bottle of emergency pickle juice. Because they make that now. Bottles of emergency pickle juice. Extra strength USDA organic pickle juice shot. Functional organic beverage. Sugar-free, caffeine-free, gluten-free, no protein allergens. Handy to keep around. So he's trying to kill the Secret Service. Man, January 20th cannot get here fast enough, can it? No. And also, along the way, a competing, usually Moran Monday, we have multiple nominations, but for this Friday on the front porch, I have a pair of competing nominations, and it's entirely up to the group who you think is the bigger Friday the 13th asshole. And our contestants are Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist and that thing on his head, or Associate Justice Sammy Bad Breath shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet away, even though he's running away from the cops and doesn't have a weapon. Alito. Now the particulars. Let's see here. And let's add one more nominee in here, a late breaker, courtesy of Dave number 11. We'll add in incoming Alabama junior senator for life, effectively, Tommy Tuberville. Because if getting busted for running a scam hedge fund won't keep you out of the United States Senate if you as long as you say you got family values and you're conservative, it won't keep you out of the Senate. Nothing will down there. So him too. Now, let me see here. We'll start with Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. And it is, it's a strong nomination, I have to tell you. And it poses a question as to physics, because, well, how is it that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, he's comfortably well off, he's socially secure. How is it that he can be a colossal dick and at the same time, be a pathetic shrimp dick? It's like, I don't know, it's like Schrodinger's libertarian asshole or something. The Heisenberg's principle of uncertainty about dickishness. Really, the kind of stuff that the deep space physicists ponder. Oh, and by the way, Brother Deacon Asa wonders, is Dr. Ben Carson the next to make his way to the egress? Ben's got it. Ben's got it bad, or Ben's got it good, depending on how you look at it. But Rand Paul is a colossal dick at the same time that he's a shrimp dick. Because interviewed on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Rand Paul declared that that if you've had the Rona, you can just throw away your mask. And along the way, he mocked Dr. Fauci. Let's go to the audio for this. Don't take my word for it.
Protecting them. But the other thing is we have 11 million people in our country who have already had COVID. We should tell them to celebrate. We should tell them to throw away their masks, go to restaurants, live again, because these people are now immune. But Dr. Fauci doesn't want to admit to any of that. Dr. Fauci's like, oh, woe is me, until the election occurs, and now maybe he'll be changing his attitude. But the bottom line is there's a great protecting them. But the other thing is we have 11 million people in our country who have already had COVID. We should tell them to celebrate. We should tell them to throw away their masks, go to restaurants, live again, because these people are now immune. But Dr. Fauci doesn't want to admit to any of that. Dr. Fauci's like, oh, woe is me, until the election occurs, and now maybe his attitude.
Yeah. Fuck off, Rand, you colossal dick, and at the same time, you shrimp dick. Oh, Rand Paul's neighbor, where are you when we need you? Yeah, well, but yeah, because that's all Dr. Fauci's doing. He's just sitting around wringing his hands and saying, oh, woe is me. And by the way, everybody who's had the Rona is not necessarily immune. Rand Paul is lying. He is actively spreading false information. Yeah. Rand Paul's trying to kill people because he's an anti-masker. He's a mask hole. He's a COVIDiot. And what they're trying to do is set up. They know Joe Biden's coming in as president. And they're trying to set up a situation. And that's why Nitwit Nero is doing less than nothing. Making the pandemic deliberately worse, so that it will be as bad as possible when Joe Biden comes in, so that the efforts made by the new Biden-Harris administration will be, the maggots will be primed to hop up and down and hoot and holler and scream about their freedom! Freedom! My freedom's being taken away! Yeah. And by the way, I tried Steve's strategy today. I don't know if it worked or not, but I had to stop at the Rippy Mart. Ferg was in the car with me. And so as I opened the door to get in the car, I said, you know, son, I can't believe, because the store was full of people not wearing masks. They all are around here. Because make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. I've done all I can. I ain't thinking nothing more that I could have done than what we have done, and ain't nothing more to do. Because he's certainly not going to make not wearing a mask a punishable offense. It's not worth the hillbilly lives that would be saved to do something like that. But I tried Steve's tactic. Opened the door, said very loudly to Ferg, because there were some mask hole COVIDiots standing not far behind me. I said, you know, son, it just amazes me. There's a big red sign on that door that says, please wear a mask. It amazes me how many illiterate people who obviously can't read live in this community and go sashaying through that door with no mask on. Ferg didn't appreciate it. Dad, one of these people's gonna want to fight you, and then I'm gonna have to be the one in the fight. Now, Dad, nah, they're shitbirds. Yeah, I don't know. So, Rand Paul and that thing on his head are asshole number one. Asshole number two, however, is as I noted. Sammy, bad breath, shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet away, even though he's running away and doesn't have a weapon. Alito. Because he made some remarks talking about how America's rights is being taken away because we're trying to stop the spread of this deadly virus. Gosh, you might ask. Bob, where would a sitting associate justice of the Supreme Court, clothed in all the majesty and power of that august body, where would an associate justice of the Supreme Court make such a dangerous, toxic, and potentially deadly, certainly assholish statement? Where, Bob? Where? at a meeting of the Federalist Society yesterday. Isn't it funny how they talk about how the Federalist Society is just a little club, it's just a little law club for nerdy lawyers and nerdy judges, and they're nonpartisan. Nobody even believes that. But sure enough, the Federalist Society invited a judge, a sitting Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, to come and opine about things that might yet come before him. And unlike a Senate confirmation hearing for, say, Justice Handmaid, he wasn't at all bashful about addressing issues that might reach the court. Apparently, it's only when you're under oath in front of the Senate and being asked some modestly difficult questions that you have to clam up. He described restrictions imposed by governors and the like over the coronavirus as, they said, they have resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Sit, liberty. Sit. Woo! God, some right-wing asshole named their kid Liberty recently. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Yeah. Previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Yeah, I guess Sammy Bad Breath doesn't know any Second World War history when all kinds of individual liberties were sort of limited so for the sake of the war effort. Oops. And he pissed and moaned a little bit about how right-wingers are now viewed as bigots because of the fact that they, well, behave like bigots. And he said he didn't care for the idea that churches got shut down, because it turns out that churches are a fertile fever swamp for spreading the Rona, and that bars were shut down too. Now, along the way, he tried to say, I'm not diminishing the severity of the virus to public health. I'm not saying anything about the legality of COVID restrictions and whether any of these restrictions represent good public policy. No, I'm just dog whistling all of that. He said, I'm a judge, not a policymaker. Even though he wants to behave as a policymaker, and any time you say what he said, you're telegraphing that to all and sundry. Yet the severe, extensive, and prolonged restrictions it's an unprecedented curtailment of rights that the First Amendment would protect normally. It's a sort of a constitutional stress test. No, really. He said that. And it all of these restrictions highlight distinct trends that were already present before the virus struck, like the dominance of lawmaking by executive fiat rather than legislation. And, of course, he pogo-sticked up onto the cross. In certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right, he said. And he said California and Nevada blatantly discriminated against houses of worship. The state's message is this: forget about worship and head for the slot machines or maybe a Cirque du Soleil show. And that there's growing hostility to the expression of unfashionable views, because and restrictions are alleged to have included discrimination based on the viewpoint of the speaker. You can't say that marriage. Really? We're going to go to marriage equality out of the pandemic? Woo! I don't know. He may be out assholing Rand Paul at this point. You can't say that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. Until very recently, that's what the vast majority of Americans taught. Now it's considered bigotry. And, of course, a gentle reminder, we have George W. Bush to thank for Sammy Bad Breath Alito. Yeah. Frankly, it would be lovely to impeach Sammy Alito over these disgusting remarks. Because, see, if it was up to Sammy Bad Breath Alito, he'd just like to shoot all the LGBTQQIA people, just like to shoot them in the back of the head at 30 yards. You know, let the cops do it, because he's already said that's okay in the back of the head. And it's caused no small amount of consternation. Over at the Human Rights Campaign, the president of that organization is Alfonso David. He tweeted, "Last night, Justice Alito shed any pretense of impartiality in a politically charged speech. If you thought Joe Biden's victory," and this is Aaron Belkin from Take Back the Court, "if you thought Joe Biden's victory would end the Trump era, think again." It's really not the Trump era, though, now, is it? Because Justice Alito is the Bush era. And it's a little bit of a problem, because you can't hang it all on Trump, no matter how badly we'd like to. This is the Bush era. But anyway, Aaron Belkin said, "If you thought Joe Biden's victory would end the Trump era, think again. Justice Alito's wildly inappropriate speech is a reminder that Republicans have packed the Supreme Court with extremist politicians in robes, and they're planning a partisan revenge tour." Partisan revenge tour. That's a hell of a phrase. And then there's Fix the Court and Gabe Roth, who said that what Sammy Badrath said was more befitting a Trump rally than a legal society. What's more, Alito's decision to speak about COVID's impact on religious exercise is unconscionable at a time when cases concerning this very topic remain active at the Supreme Court and across the federal judiciary. If there were enforceable recusal standards at the High Court, this would be a ripe opportunity for a motion to disqualify. And how do we know that what Alito said was toxic? Well, Jenna Ellis, who is a really bad lawyer and works for the MAGOT campaign, said, "Justice Alito is a hero. Protecting religious liberty and freedom of speech in America is paramount." Shut up, Jenna. Edward Whalen at the Ethics and Public Policy Center said, "It's one thing for a justice to speak publicly about an open issue on which the justice hasn't yet ruled, as Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg did with respect to same-sex marriage and President Trump's tax returns. It's a very different and much less remarkable thing for a justice to restate positions that he's already formally adopted." Ed Whalen was trying to provide cover to Sammy Bad Breath. And if you think that they're not out to take to destroy tens of thousands of marriages in this country, think again. Associate Justice Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas wrote in an opinion last month, when the Supreme Court shut down an appeal filed by sister clerk Kim Davis, they martyrized the sister clerk, saying that She's one of the first victims of this court's cavalier treatment of religion in its Obergefell decision, and she will not be the last. Obergefell, this is slappy writing. Obergefell enables courts and governments to brand religious adherents who believe that marriages between one man and one woman as bigots, making their religious liberty concerns that much easier to dismiss. Well, I mean, you know, a brand, when you think about running cattle, you put a brand on a cow because that cow is part of your herd, and it marks it as being part of your herd. And that's not bigotry. That's just denoting where someone, where the cow in that particular instance belongs. And so the idea of branding someone a bigot when a bigot is the group that they come from, or bigots is where they come from, that's the closest thing to some accurate language that Slappy and Bad Breath were able to reach. And the bottom line to all of this, of course, is that there are no rules. There are no rules for a member of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is free to engage in unethical conduct, sleazy conduct, biased conduct, and anything else they want to do, and there's not anything that anyone can do about it short of impeachment, and nobody's going to do that because we have an un-American, unpatriotic majority in the Senate of the United States that prefers the sort of minority rule that obtained in South Africa. That's who they are. Plain and simple. Oh, let's see here, just a second. Just getting connected for Friday on the front porch. Giuliani's last stand, a historical marker. Sparky posted this. On this site, on November 9th, 2020, in front of the garage door of Four Seasons Total Landscaping, strategically located next to Fantasy Island Adult Books and across the Delaware Valley, across from the Delaware Valley Cremation Center, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani humiliatingly attempted to discredit the will of the people of the United States with bullshit conspiracy theories on behalf of his defeated orange lord, Donald J. Trump. Yeah, let's get that sign up right away. That's freaking brilliant. And let's see, the check in on the email that's been piling up since I've been running my yap. Ralph said, 11 dozen Secret Service? A whole lot of people. I think the technical term for that is oodles. That's for Ralph. I forgot something. Alito at the Federalist Society, Lee in New York, says, hey, Bob, you forgot to mention that Utes never get the Rona. What? Utes. You know, Utes. Yeah, these Utes never get the Rona. Jeez, says Darlene in Connecticut. Rand Paul has a serious hang-up and axe to grind about Dr. Fauci. Fauci seems to really get under his skin. Probably because Dr. Fauci's a real doctor, unlike Rand Paul. And Fauci called Paul's ass out at a recent hearing, so no love lost on Fauci's side either. Yeah, and Alito is a total dipshit, too. Well, Darlene, are you saying it's a tie? Because that means we have to have a tiebreaker, and, well, that's what Tommy Tuberville's for. In January, he'll be sworn in as the junior senator of Alabama. He decided to unburden himself of some civics knowledge to show how much he understands about government, and already, you know, because he was a highfalutin football coach there at Auburn University. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coach Tommy Tuberville said, and they still refer to him as Coach Tommy Tuberville, because in the transcript here of the interview, the shorthand for him when he's speaking is CTT, Coach Tommy Tuberville. That's just an Alabama, a football in the state of Alabama thing. But asked about, about what he sees in terms of how he'll get work done where he, when he's in the Senate, the question was put to him, are Republicans going to have to work with Democrats? You see that being possibly a more productive situation? And CTT responds, yeah, and that's how our government was set up. You know, our government wasn't set up for one group to have all three branches of government. It wasn't set up that way. Our three branches, the House, the Senate, and the executive. Whoop. I'll just leave that laying there for a minute for your delectation. Three branches of government. The House, the Senate, and the executive. Put all that effort into getting a bunch of right-wing assholes on the Supreme Court, and Tommy Tuberville comes along and removes them as an entire branch of government. Wow. And him be senator. The stories just sort of write themselves. So many stories this evening. With Veterans Day having just passed, we would do well to take note of the further ponderings of CTT, Coach Tommy Tuberville. Billable Rick pointing out, CTT forgot to point out the fourth branch of government. The welfare wingnut branch. Yeah. So, It wasn't just the three branches of government. No, no. It's history generally. In the same interview, he was asked about, well, history. And he referenced his daddy, the World War II veteran. And I dare say Tommy Tuberville's daddy knew why the hell he was fighting there in Europe. But Tommy, well, Tommy really kind of doesn't. So, he took to pondering, Tommy did. Took to pondering just what it all means. And he said, well, it's a little concerning to me that just a citizen this time last week. You still are there, CTT. You ain't taken no oath yet. It's just a citizen this time last week. I took a look at it, and I see what country I grew up in and what it's meant and the direction that we're going. And it's concerning to me that a guy can run for president of the new United States and have an opportunity to win when he leans more to a socialist type of government. You know, one-payer system in health care, raise taxes 20%, when the other half of the country is basically voting for freedom. Let us control our own lives. Stay out of our life. And that's concerning to me, that we're to the point now. And see, this is where he was getting all serious and like, and showing off how statesmanlike he could be, you understand. And that's concerning to me, that we're to the point now where we got almost half the country voting for something this country wasn't built on. Very concerning. And you know, as I tell people, my dad fought 76 years ago in Europe to free Europe of socialism. I really should have issued the hockey puck warning, shouldn't I have? Well, hell, hockey puck warning. My dad fought 76 years ago in Europe to free Europe of socialism. Today, you look at this here election, we have half this country that made some kind of movement. Now, they may not believe in it 100%, but they made some kind of movement toward socialism. So we're fighting it right here on our own soil. We've got to decide, you know, over the years, which direction we're going. And that part's concerning to me. Yeah. The United States joined in World War II and allied ourselves with the Soviet communists. To defeat socialism. Not Nazism. Not fascism. Socialism. Apparently, CTT, in all the time that he was at Albarn, he never learnt the Albarn Creed. I think when you go to Albarn, you're supposed to learn this here creed. The creed was written by George Petrie, who died in 1947. He was a professor there at Albarn, and he was the very first football coach of the Auburn football team. And George Petrie wrote, "I believe that this is a practical world and that I can count on only what I earn. Therefore, I believe in work, hard work." And bear in mind, again, this was written at a time when Auburn was an entirely segregated university, so it should read, "Therefore, I believe in work, hard work, done by somebody else. I believe in education for white people." Oops. "Which gives me the knowledge to work wisely and trains my mind and my hands to work skillfully to get other people to work for me." I'm adding some words here and there. "I believe in honesty and truthfulness among white people, without which I cannot win the respect and confidence of my fellow white men. I believe in a sound white mind, in a sound white body, and a spirit that is not afraid, and in clean sports that develop these qualities. White people. I believe in obedience to law because it protects the rights of all white people. I believe in the human touch, which cultivates sympathy with my fellow white men and mutual helpfulness and brings happiness for all white people. I believe in my white supremacist country because it is a land of freedom for white people and because it is my own home as a white person and that I can best serve that country by doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with my God, who is white. And because Auburn men and women believe in these things, I believe in Auburn and love it for white people." Well, okay. So Tommy Tuberville, just to recap, Tommy Tuberville thinks the federal government is comprised of the Senate branch, the House branch, and the executive branch, and that those three branches are apparently going to be socialist now, and that Joe Biden is a Nazi who's going to be the head of the executive branch. Mercy. I don't know about you, but I think that competition for the biggest asshole of the day is really pretty tight. Dennis in Columbus saying, yesterday's news, our lame dick president. I see what you did there, Dennis. Yeah. Randy in PA says, about those fetuses. It is pre-programming approaching brainwashington, really, Bob? Brainwashing to have conservatives shout out, abortion and murder, every time someone mentions some aspect of female sexuality. That would be like automatically shouting out, pudding is poison, every time someone mentions something containing salad oil, since instant pudding contains mostly hydrogenated vegetable oil, which, you know, isn't good for you. That's a top-notch distillation of the issue. It is. And from Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Alito. Oh, Sammy, I know it's tough to let go of your bigotry, but many of us have moved on. Evolve or die, T-Rex. I know. Wouldn't you love to see him change his sheets? You know, T-Rex's little short arms. Well, and again, the only sheets that Sammy ever touches are the ones that he puts over his head. Let's see, what else here? Oh, emergency pickle juice. Lee in New York, I've been unaware of the emergency that requires pickle juice. I guess I've lived my life dangerously. Hey, there, when you are really, really all hot and sweaty, and you've been working in the, been out in the sun, and it's real, real hot and warm and summery and stuff, and the sweat's just pouring off of you, I'll take pickle juice over Gatorade any day of the week. Because, among other things, pickle juice doesn't have any high fructose corn syrup in it. Oh, well, thank you, Billable Rick. I got a cowbell. For the remark, it's like Schrodinger's libertarian asshole. Thank you. Billable wondering, how many healthy Secret Service employees can there still be left if 130 are sick? And I wonder if the top brass there in the Secret Service are a little bit worried about their ability to actually complete their mission. And as to Rand Paul, Flavio points out, you know, that old saying, loose lips sink ships, it also applies to pandemics as well. I know, Kyle. He exposed Secret Service members to a deadly fucking virus just so he could get stroked by his cult followers, and now he's going to start the damn rallies again? Why is this fucker being allowed to continue? Jesus fucking Christ. And as far as Kyle's concerned, Tommy Tuberville wins, hands down. Right, but it's the liberal justices who are activist justices, says Kyle. God damn it, I hate these assholes. And now we've got Kyle living inside his own head. Are you sure my father didn't disguise himself as Alito? My God, all these assholes say the same fucking conspiratorial, not based in reality bullshit. Talk about a bunch of fucking sheep. And as to his Alito's remarks on the gay community, or the LGBTQQIA community, I am so fucking tired of our community being the proverbial whipping boy of this government and this court. I know it gets old. Real fast. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, it wrecks my brain. What happened to common sense? They're not taking us back to, they're not talking us back to Jim Crow, but to James the First. It's a witch hunt. Yeah, yeah, kind of is. Way to go, Taliban, says Megan. You went from a lawyer who prosecuted for civil rights to a football coach who thinks the three branches of government of the House, the Senate, and the Executive doesn't know why we fought in World War II and also doesn't realize you can't fundraise from his Senate office. I expected to revert to type once COVID Caligula was out, but goddamn. Yeah, he's, I have a feeling we're going to have six delightful years with Tommy Tuberville. Every time he opens his yap. And James in Illinois adds another nominee, another entrant, that dumbass Georgia congresswoman and QAnon adherent who's in the news today over not wanting to wear a mask in the House. Marjorie Taylor Greene. The name escapes me, but I don't care. Well, she can say what she can want till hell freezes over, but she will wear the mask. She will wear a mask. Stupids. Q and nonsense. Remember the word. That's Joey's or Giraffe's. I'm not sure which. As to marriage, David in South Carolina, Stan says, you know, if one does not want to marry a person of the same gender, then they should not do it. How does this interfere with going to church? Because it hurts their conservative fifis, and it violates their tenets of originalism and textualism. Because there were no gay people whatsoever in the 18th century in the colonies or then the United States of America. None. Even though during the Revolution, George Washington surrounded himself with a group of really pretty boys, young boys, in some cases, teenage boys. Lafayette was a teenager, you know. Alexander Hamilton was on Washington's general staff along with Lafayette, and they's real cute. Mm-hmm. And thank you very kindly getting us started this evening. Thank you to Faith. Thank you, Faith. We are off and running. And we have knocked out the first half of Rico's No Name Challenge in DeBerg. $25 more to go on that, and then $50 to go on Joey and Giraffe's challenge. What was the name of that challenge? Ah, yes. Let's see here. Yeah, there it is, the $50 Moran March Challenge, because the Morans are marching tomorrow. So $75 remain in the challenges. Thank you very, very kindly. Oh, and yes, I should mention that jumping in with his, I have a show on me earlier today. Yuki's challenge from last night got met. And that's big and that's important. Thank you very kindly to Scott for meeting Yuki's challenge and then some. So there we are. If the challenges get met, that will get us down to about $205 to go to finish the week, and that'll be profound progress. All right, enough of me. Let's run over to the old holler tree where we keep the extraordinary ordinary roundtable and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Ah, pretty good. I love the historical marker there. I hope that'll be going up there at Four Seasons Total Landscaping real soon.
Yeah, I found that. Somebody posted that on Facebook.
That's good.
I, for one, am really insulted that somebody would compare a Tyrannosaurus Rex to Sammy Alito. I actually think a T-Rex is far more preferable in that they at least are honest carnivores and just doing what's natural.
We'll talk next week.
Bye. Yeah. Hey, Darlene. How are you?
Hey. And the photos that are the top stories are absolutely heartbreaking, with the frontline healthcare workers dealing with the pandemic, the explosion here, or the re-explosion of the pandemic, where there's just this utter lack of leadership at the top, with the orange turd who is skulking and drowning his sorrows in fast food and is the cause of 130 Secret Service agents becoming infected with the virus. And I'm extremely concerned for the safety and well-being of the president-elect and the vice president-elect, because I would not put anything past the current administration. I hope that they have heavy-duty security surrounding them, and even extra security beyond the Secret Service. I'm extremely concerned because of the very weird things that you're hearing, you know, out of the mouths of, you know, Pompeo and Kayleigh McEnany and
Peter Navarro. You know, Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro is the latest to jump in on the second Trump term bullshit.
Yeah, this stuff is very disturbing. Very disturbing. And like I said, I hope that the president-elect is well protected. I just don't trust them. I do not trust. Especially with Letitia Jackson, with what she apparently said today, you know, that there's a heap of trouble waiting for Trump once he's out of office in January.
Letitia James?
Oh, Letitia James, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, the Attorney General in New York.
Right.
You know, there's a shit ton of, there was a world of hurt waiting for Trump in, you know, January 21st. So he's, I think, a desperate man. Oh, and I'm sorry, Doug. I'm sorry, Sparky. I didn't realize that I horned in on your time. My apologies. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's. Well, I think. what's happening, Sparky?
Darlene was on a roll, Bob.
Yeah, Darlene was, and I want to, you know.
Can I throw in just a couple of things to add on to Darlene, what she said? If it keeps going like this for the Secret Service, the only one left to protect the orange asshole is going to be the Hamburglar. And another thing, can we shorten Pompeo to just Pompeii and go all Mount Vesuvius on his ass?
Or just, hey, how about... You know what fits even more? Pompous. Mike Pompous.
Pompous, yes.
Mike Pompous ass.
I was muted.
Pompous ass, perfect.
Okay, unmuted now?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you if you looked at that video I sent you about the NASCAR champion Chase Elliott returning home.
Yeah, I did see it.
I don't want to go anywhere near Dawsonville, Georgia. There was hardly, the whole town turned out, and hardly anybody was wearing a mask.
Right. Well, bear in mind, I don't know, is Steve in the chat? Because Steve can throw a rock and hit Dawsonville.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's that bad.
Anyway, I didn't know that, but I didn't know they had the Georgia Race Car Hall of Fame there or whatever, too. So that was the big event, putting his car into their Hall of Fame after he won the championship.
Wow. And so no masks, butthole to belly button.
Yep.
Et cetera.
Everybody had to get a picture of him in the car, so they were pressing right up against the car when he was driving through town.
Oh, well, shoot fire, yeah. God. And see, this is what makes it terrifying. It's like what Darlene was talking about, the pathetic, the grief of it. There was a woman interviewed on, I guess, MSNBC, who said if she was a nurse in New Mexico, and she was all but in tears talking about what was happening with the increase in cases. We're going to make the front end of all of this look like nothing. As awful as it was, we're going to make it look like nothing if we don't get a handle on it. And what's going on right now is this gang of punks and thugs and cut purses and foot pads and highwaymen and lick spittles and boot licks and sycophants, and they're trying to make it as awful as possible when Biden comes into office. Do you remember back when Clinton was leaving office and the Republicans complained that, well, they stole all the W's off all the keyboards? Remember that?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
And that turned out, of course, to be complete and utter bullshit. But this is real. And where's the call out on it? I'm just trying to figure that part out.
What, the Defense Department?
Well, not the Defense Department. I don't care. I mean, the entire executive branch, you know, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, the three branches of government, like Tommy Tuberville says. But mm-hmm. the executive branch is trying actively to make this disease worse. And just sitting back and letting it roll. I mean, I've got I can't play it because it's on this channel. But I've got a clip from that idiot governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, in which she complains that people's freedom is being taken from them, and that they have to have the personal freedom to make choices for themselves. Completely oblivious to the fact that when you don't wear a mask, you're not making choices just for yourself. You're making a choice for me. And for everybody, you know, for everybody that you come in contact with, you're saying to them, I don't give a good goddamn about you. And while
you're putting your fist in their lungs.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Your filthy virus covered fist. Yes. So yeah, that. And thank you very kindly to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thanks a bunch. You just finished off Rico's No Name Challenge, Rico Indeberg. And thank you to Todd. Thanks to Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Thank you for getting us started on the Moran March Challenge. So thank you both. Thank you both very much.
Did you talk about that nasty old congressman from Alaska that's got COVID?
Oh, Don Young?
Yeah.
Is he the...
He's 89.
Yeah.
So it'll probably kill him, hopefully. About time Alaska gets a new congressman.
One. Right. Because that's all they got. They got the obligatory
maybe
one.
Maybe Sarah could come back.
Yeah.
Caribou Barbie.
Well, you saw that video a while back where she was basically threatening to run against Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah, I sent you that, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, she was, wow, out there.
Lisa, this is my house. It's my house, Lisa, my house.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, she got her prescription of goofballs, like, doubled or tripled.
Oh, and I got a note from Glenn in San Diego. Darlene, I agree with your assessment relative to the T-Rex, but as one T-Rex said to another, I realize I'm the king of all lizards, but I'd give it all up in a heartbeat if I could just reach my penis. Oh, wait a minute.
Hi, yeah, I know. I'm just going to have to let that one float by for a minute. That's bad. That's bad. Ugh.
I think Steve's joined us.
Oh, there he is. Yeah.
Blob!
Steve!
What's happening, brother? So you can throw a rock and hit Bostonville?
Yeah, man. Practically. Next county over, bro. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. If you're into NASCAR.
Yeah, well, his son just won the championship.
Yeah, cool.
So they had big doings the other day there.
No kidding. Yeah, they have a big museum to him in town. It's all owed to Bill, you know.
Yeah, well, now they got Chase Elliott's car in there now, one of his older cars, not the one he won a championship in.
They have a NASCAR museum there. It's huge, man. It didn't go as well as they expected. I mean, they made the parking lot 5 football fields and it didn't draw near what they thought. Now they want the taxpayers to pick up the dolt.
Well, it drew enough people that it was packed the other day.
Yeah, well, that was a one-off, though, Duncan. Usually it's empty, man.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but there'll be a few cases.
Tasting.
There'll
that's
be a few.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No,
go ahead,
that's
bro.
Okay, Steve. I was just going to point out that there'll be a few Rona cases come out of that. It may have been a.
Glad I missed it, man.
There was a few people wearing masks. You could count them on one hand.
They're not the sharpest cookies down there. Not to sound elitist or anything, but yeah, these folks just don't get it, man. I guess they will when they start keeling over. Oh. It's very concerning. I haven't had time to keep up with the news. Work's been off the hook today, man. What did I miss? Every day it gets crazier and crazier.
You missed a Rose Garden speech. And then
I caught the rippers of that.
Then he huffed off, didn't take any questions, looked defeated.
Good. I hear the CNN officially called it for Georgia. A good friend of mine texted me. I heard it. I was listening to it, but I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, and they've called North Carolina, too, so they're all done with that.
Yeah, so it's really a moot point. Whatever this count comes back, but Biden's going to win unless they cook it somehow. I don't see how. How are you going to cook? What is it, 17,000 votes?
Well, I've got it. Again, that stupid interview with the Washington Examiner, Nitwit Nero said, "We're going to win Wisconsin. Arizona, it'll be down to 8,000 votes, and if we can do an audit of the millions of votes, we'll find 8,000 votes easy. If we can do an audit, we'll be in good shape there."
You're kidding. That's his plan, right?
hand counting is the best. To do a spin of the machine doesn't mean anything. You pick up 10 votes. But when you hand count, I think we're going to win Georgia.
Yeah, good luck finding 17,000 votes. If they do, the fix is definitely in, and it ain't for Biden.
No.
Well, I heard there was one court case that the lawyer didn't even show up for.
Well, there's no there, you know? Like Bill Handel says, you have no case.
Handel on the law.
It's a funny show, Bob. You ever listen to it? Now, I don't want to plug another show, but yeah, I don't even know if it's on anymore.
Yeah, I have. It's...
It's the shtick gets old. It gets old. But for the first couple hours, it's kind of funny. He just tells everybody the same thing. But it's entertaining. Entertaining radio. I just can't believe anybody would ever call him because he's going to tell you. Enough about him. How's Blob?
Oh, getting by.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what. Hopefully, I'll have some decent cooking weather for the weekend. I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. How about that storm, man? They didn't know where the hell it was going. It finally crossed Florida and went out to the Atlantic.
Yeah, but now we got a new one on the way.
Yeah, I see that.
Yoda.
That, Don't you think the waters are too cold for it to do any serious damage, though? I mean, as far as hitting the states?
No. No, I mean, they're not that cold yet. Especially not the Caribbean and the South Atlantic.
That's concerning. I was looking at the water temperature.
IOTA, which is often pronounced as IOTA. But it is Yoda. So in 2020, probably the last named storm is going to be Hurricane Yoda.
The fun never stops. Now,
really? Hurricane Yoda? Hurricane Yoda?
You can't write this shit, man. You can't. I was under the impression that a hurricane needed 80-degree water to sustain strength, though, and after that it starts losing rapidly. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, just what I learned from Dr. Google. And I've been checking some of the water on the coastlines out there, and some of it's rather coolish, 60s even.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm talking going from Texas to the Florida side. Now, you get down in the Keys, it's still warm. Yeah, it could still sustain and do some serious damage.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So any misery anywhere, I'm not saying, you know, good that it's, you know, we're safe. It's we got to do something about this global warming, damn it. People are dying. And how do you think Joe is going to handle the Rona, Mr. Kincaid?
Biden or Scarborough?
Yeah. Although they're not one and the same. A president-elect.
I'm the one thing I know for sure is that there was a clear message sent when he selected Ron Klain, because Ron Klain was in charge of the was it the Ebola response or the H1N1 response in the Obama administration?
Ebola, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Ebola.
Yep. Yeah. So he's got experience in handling dangerous infectious disease. That's encouraging. But the amount of that's what's going on right now. The amount of pissing and moaning is directly related, whether it's Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, or any of or Christy Noem from South Dakota, any of these freaks. This is all about making sure that they've got everything in place to keep Joe Biden from being able to stop the disease. At this point in time, the entire Republican Party has become a party of bioterrorists. I mean, it's unavoidable. It just is.
And I think President Biden is probably going to have to put us on another lockdown, and these right-wing thugs, they're going to lose their shiz, you know?
Well, and they already are, but the thing is, But the steps are already being taken by Republican governors. Ohio, Maryland, both have Republican governors, yep. And they are both... They're both imposing... they're both imposing stricter measures. In fact, I think there's going to be criminal penalties in there'll be criminal penalties in Ohio for non-masking.
Well, I shudder to think what it's going to be like. And we discussed this last time you and I talked after January. It's very concerning.
Well, and the thing is,
well, I think one of the things we need.
Roger, what's going on, man?
Consider.
Yes, sir.
I'm here. One of the things we have to consider is we really never have had a lockdown.
No.
We have had a please slow down a little bit and stay home and wear a mask. Please, 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 please. But we haven't had a lockdown. And that orange turd today, when he was giving his little presser, said, well, under my administration, we won't have a lockdown. We haven't had one,
but we should.
That's
have
true.
One.
We had, we had a passing dalliance with being vaguely intelligent about it. But that's it.
And it was very passing.
Yeah.
I forget who it was that said it.
That was the end of that. Right?
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
I forget who said it, but someone pointed out that whenever we choose to, we are 6 weeks from beating this thing.
Yeah, we could have had the most of this behind us.
But
we played it right.
But it requires the will to do it, and it's gonna and it has to be a hard lockdown. And of course, I guess some of that's in question now, though, because they had hard lockdowns as hard as you can get. In Italy and Spain, and it's back. But then again, that's because people lightened up and stopped being vigilant.
Well, and Bob, it takes nothing to get on the train, the Euro train, and go from any country in Europe to Italy or Spain. Right?
Exactly.
So they could have locked down as hard as they could, but if people from Poland are getting on the train and coming to Italy, guess what?
And they're locking, you know, they're imposing further restrictions in the UK. I think the Germans are taking it most seriously, but even Germany has people who are being petulant and pissanty about it. And it's not that difficult. All you have to do is commit your government to protecting your people and your economy during the pendency of the crisis. And you'll be okay.
Are you there?
What happens? Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sparky.
I have a question.
Oh, it's Todd. Hey, Todd.
Oh,
hello,
Todd.
How you doing, man?
Steve.
What's going on, bro? Good to hear from you, man.
You listen, Steve, man, you're sounding good and strong lately. Honest to God.
Hey, guys, I'll be right back. Agnes just hollered for me. Stand by. Or y'all talk amongst yourselves.
That's funny.
That is. So, thanks, brother. I appreciate that, man.
I mean that.
We are on the back porch without the boss.
You know, we're talking about the lockdown. Let me ask you this, everyone, really, honestly.
Yes, sir.
Talking about a lockdown or whatever. Like, okay, we started, this whole state where I live, it started with one or two cases, the people who go to the country club. They traced it. The newspaper traced it. They found out that's what happened. Started off with two cases, and now, you know, the whole state is on fire because we're not that populous. We don't have that many people. But, you know, this is what we have a federal government for, is for emergencies. The National Guard can deliver food, you know, milk, bread, meat, eggs, cheese, vegetables, you know, things to keep us afloat for 6 weeks and maybe a stipend, because otherwise this is not going to go away. I don't understand. And at the same time, they don't want to give anyone health insurance. What do you do when they tell you to stay home for 2 weeks? And you might, you know, a lot of people are paycheck to paycheck. So you get evicted, you got no home, you're sick. So people go to work sick. So we can't, you've got to do this right.
Right.
I'm missing something here.
You know, we've gone in the last 10 months, being simplistic, we've gone from zero to 10 million cases, I believe. That's how quickly it's exploding. And you can imagine what's going to happen this winter. So, yeah, I mean, the current situation is a good reason to have universal health care, or we're all just going to have health care and not be able to pay for it.
Well, and everybody should have their utilities paid for.
Well, that's part of it. Was that Chris?
Yeah, Todd. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Chris. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, in other words, it's not that hard to figure out. Everybody knows who does what. Believe me, the government knows. Everybody has either mortgage or a rent or, you know, something. So, or, you know, even car payments, because all this stuff is a drag on the economy.
Just property tax.
Yep. Property tax. Exactly. And
do this right.
Super wealthy. Hmm?
I'm sorry.
No, Todd, you were talking. I jumped on you. My bad, brother. Go ahead.
All I was going to say is that the super wealthy, they got a 20% pay raise, which they didn't even need. A lot of these people, they gave money back because they knew they didn't need the money. Bloomberg was one of them. He's like, I don't need 20% extra money. I just don't, you know. And then when people apply for SNAP, they're like, oh, you can't eat. You know, you make too much. You make $10 an hour. You make too much.
You know, what a load of crap.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Grabbing the brand name Gruel from the aisle. You should get the generic.
Did you say brand name Gruel?
Yeah.
Who's got a cowbell?
Bob's got to give you the cowbell when he gets back.
When he gets back, yeah. Boom, bro. But to do this right, they need to fund everybody adequately. I'm not talking people that don't need it. I'm talking blue-collar workers. Pay them adequately enough to where they can stay at home and not have to fret over the bills.
Yes.
And, you know,
so
stressful.
Steve, how can we get this message out? I mean, this is like common sense. It's only going to take like 6 weeks, 2 months. It's not going to take that long.
The first obstacle, Todd, we have to get these two senators in Georgia elected. Yes. Otherwise, you know, it's a moot point.
Mitch is just going to, he's just going to keep wiping his ass with the Constitution like he has for the past 10 years.
I'm going to work my ass off.
And after January 20th, it's going to be, oh, my God, the budget deficit. Oh, my God, the debt.
Oh, yeah.
We can't give anybody
anything. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't. You're exactly
right. That's the two Santa Claus, Roger. You're talking about the two Santa Claus.
Oh, I'm well aware of what it's called. I'm just saying that they're gonna jam the debt, the national debt, the budget crisis, blah 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 bullshit, and their minions will simply go, "Oh yeah, we got a problem," and nobody on the media is going to say, "Well, in the last 4 years, this happened to the debt." Debt because of that goddamn tax cut that happened in 2017. And oh, by the way, in 2017, tax cut is the reason your taxes are going up 20% in 2021.
Correct. Yeah, we talked about that last week, Roger, right?
Yeah, that was cooked into the goddamn tax cut of 2017, was the increase in 2021, knowing that if they could hold on to the presidency and the Senate and possibly the House, they could extend those tax cuts and claim they were giving the middle class another tax cut. Whereas if they lost, it was a built-in tax increase for them to use getting ready for the 22 elections. Those goddamn Democrats raised your taxes. And they're
brilliant.
God, I've got Facebook friends that are going to believe that shit. And there's no amount of trying to tell them they're fucked up. Sorry, my rant.
That's exactly right. No, you're right. You're spot on. And guess whose taxes aren't going to get raised? All the richest corporations that pay negative tax. And, you know, Bezos and Zuckerberg and Shelley Adelson and Koch brother, well, brother.
We heard, by the way, Chris, we heard from Chuck today, or yesterday.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Chuck who?
Chuck Koch.
Oh, okay. What did he have to say?
He gave a rare interview, because they're not known for that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did they have a seance with his brother?
I wish he'd have it in person. He gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal just a little bit before the election. And he said, he gave the interview because he's got a new book out. Believe in People, Bottom-Up Solutions for a Top-Down World. And it comes out on Tuesday. Which means that it'll probably be in, it'll be remaindered into Dollar Tree and Dollar General and whatnot by Wednesday. But in that book, he talks about how they put money into building, you know, they,
he confesses that the Koch brothers were, I mean, we've known it all along, but to have him confess it means something. And he confessed that they built the teabaggers. And he says, boy, did we screw up. What a mess.
Wow. They took ownership of it?
Yeah. And then went on to say, because of part, and this is the part where, you know, I'm once again confirmed in my belief that there really isn't a big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Because he said, because of partisanship, we've come to expect too much of politics and too little of ourselves and one another. Because if there really was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, that'd be bzzz, lightning bolt, little greasy spot. Hey, look, what's that little greasy spot? Oh, that's where God took out Chuck Koch. Because he's complaining about partisanship. So does that mean he's going to pull his libertarian dollars out of the process? Oh, fuck no. It just means he's going to give it. So he's going to make another mess somewhere else. But he did congratulate Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and said, I hope we all use this post-election period to find a better way forward. Fucking libertarians.
Yeah,
fucking
libertarians. Just don't pass any climate change legislation, right, Bob?
Yeah, just don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's not a way forward.
Right.
Excuse me, Bob Kincaid, you have a cowbell in arrears.
Oh, am I in arrears on cowbells?
Yes. There was a comment made about off-brand gruel.
Yes.
Yeah,
brand name gruel. Yeah, that's why I was checking in.
Thank
on Agnes.
You. Thanks, Todd. Thank you. Got my back. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you deserve that. The minute I read that, I thought, yeah, that's quality. Brand name gruel. And you were awarded a cowbell also for that by Lee in New York. Buying brand name gruel. Yeah, that really is. Hey, that's quality.
Hey, Bob, we got a little technical difficulty going on. I just looked into it. The link at the top of the page takes you into last week's Skype chat.
Ah.
Skype room.
I didn't realize that.
So that's probably why there isn't many people here. So I just tested it out in a lark, and it took me into last week's chat. So I don't know how to fix that at all.
I don't know how to
invite people in.
There's a whole bunch of people here that weren't here last week.
Well, try it, Duncan. I just did it, man.
I don't have to try it.
I used the link.
I killed the link from last week.
Okay. I just tried it, and it took me into last week
anymore.
Oh, all right.
I had a note from as to lockdowns. I had a note from Matt in San Francisco. In the Bay Area counties, we locked down before anyone else, basically back in March, and that lasted a couple of months. Then we started slow reopens. The state just passed 1 million cases. Mask compliance out here in the Bay Area is quite high, universal, with the exception of a trumpansy here and there that usually is filmed and shamed and sometimes ending up in losing their jobs. I don't know what the answer is. However, if we had a responsible government that paid people to stay home and we locked down for 6 weeks, logic would dictate the virus would be interrupted. That would give us a fighting chance. Not that I want anyone to lose their home or anything, but for crying out loud, a home can be replaced, a car can be replaced. When you're dead, you're dead. There ain't no coming back from that. And Matt's correct. But people don't have to lose homes. People don't have to lose shit if we have a responsive government that covers those debts for that period of time. And that's what progressives are talking about. It fixes it. It makes it better. It makes it bearable. And for anybody wanting to see it, if you go, and Jug of Punch sent this along to me. Thanks, Jug. If you go to MikeTheMadBiologist.com, the title of the post, and it is from October 28th, What a Good Prevalence Would Be. And this is, here's what he says. Most days when I post my daily roundup, I refer to the good place, which is a daily new case rate of one case per 100,000 people, which in D.C., for instance, would be 7 cases a day or 50 cases per week. Seems I'm not the only one who wants to get to that point and thinks we can. And links to a statement by Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. If you look at Taiwan or New Zealand or even Italy, 8, 10, 12 weeks of really serious pain, limiting social activities, limiting groups, you get the number of new cases a day down to 1 per 100,000. In the United States, that means 3,000 new cases or 2,000 new cases a day, down from what we're doing at 60,000. Then we can be a lot more free and open. The chance of spreading is low. Schools can open. Lots of things happen when you're about 3,000 cases a day as opposed to 60,000 or 40,000 cases a day. And what Mike the Mad Biologist adds is, where I disagree with Ezekiel Emanuel is this notion of pain. If we had the necessary economic policies, which is what I just said, it wouldn't be that painful. And for most parts of the country at this point, we don't need 3 months of shutdown. Many places could get there in 4 to 6 weeks, 2 months tops. As I keep saying, we are 4 to 6 weeks away from returning to normal-ish, though if cases keep climbing, it'll be more like 6 to 8 weeks. But we remain 4 to 6 weeks away because we refuse to do what needs to be done. Anger is still the appropriate emotion. And what he means by returning to normal in 4 to 6 versus 6 to 8, if we can lower R1 to 0.07, or to 0.7, 0.7, 70%, and we assume an incubation period of 5 days, 6 weeks could lower the prevalence 17-fold, and 2 months could lower prevalence more than 70-fold. Exponential growth is also exponential shrinkage. It goes both ways. And when he says responsible economic policies, what he says is via the left, one, rent and mortgage suspension for businesses and residents, two, temporary universal health care coverage, including for those who lost their jobs, three, some kind of significant income supplements for households, and four, mandatory sick leave so essential workers wouldn't feel obligated to work when they're symptomatic. And it's the same kind of it's the same kind of protective spending that we know via Keynesian economics fucking works. It works.
And Bob, let me just add, no electric shutoff, gas shutoff, right. Water shutoff.
And see, in Germany, among other things, they subsidized, if I understood it correctly, they subsidized people's bills.
Yeah.
So that you're not sitting there sweating the bill. The government just makes sure that the bills are paid, and that cuts down on the amount of actual cash that has to be pumped out by the government, you know, into direct hands.
And to keep us sane, the cable needs to be paid, and the internet has to be paid, too.
Sure.
Not that tough.
I mean, it
particularly the internet, because of all our kids that are doing remote schooling.
Right. I'll add to that, Roger, that's a net bonus to the country anyway, because there's vast parts of this country that desperately need internet upgrades.
See, that what you just
well,
said there.
Well, there are parts of this country in very rural northern California, where they ran fiber optic lines down through Salmon River Canyon and serviced houses with fiber optic that don't have electricity because they had the money to put the fiber optic in, but they didn't add electric to the same ditch they dug. So you got people operating off a water wheel or a gas generator that have fiber optic internet.
That's some good foresight there, Roger.
Well, and I just had a note from our youngest out in New Mexico. And she said, our state is shutting down for 2 weeks and people are panic buying everything. But again, it's not really a shutdown. It's not. I emphasize what you said, Roger. We really haven't had an honest-to-goodness shutdown. We had a slowdown.
So, Bob, what are they doing in New Mexico? What's their definition of a shutdown?
Let me see here. Let me ask her if she's got a link.
Let me jump in just a second. Was it Costco? I think it was on Tuesday, and wanted to buy two big packages of toilet paper, and we were restricted to one, even though they had several hundred packages out on the floor. And plus, I looked in the back, and they had a whole lot more there. So I think Eugene Costco was anticipating another shutdown run on toilet paper, paper towels, et cetera. So I think some corporate people are seeing the handwriting on the wall that we're headed there again, and they want to start avoiding shortages.
Yeah, it makes sense.
From your
governor, you guys, as governor in Oregon, put the state in partial lockdown for 2 weeks.
And I've got a story here from the Detroit News. Oregon and New Mexico order lockdowns, other states resist. The governors of Oregon and New Mexico ordered near lockdowns Friday in the most aggressive response yet to the latest wave of coronavirus infections, shattering records across the U.S., even as many of their colleagues in other states show little appetite for reimposing the hardline restrictions of last spring. We're in a life-or-death situation, and if we don't act right now, we cannot preserve the lives, we cannot keep saving lives, and we absolutely will crush our current health care system and infrastructure. That's what New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said in imposing a stay-at-home order. And then Kate Brown acted similarly with a two-week freeze that starts Wednesday. All businesses will be required to close their offices to the public and mandate work from home to the greatest extent possible. Most Oregon stores will remain open. Gyms, museums, pools, movie theaters, and zoos will be forced to close. And restaurants and bars will be once again limited to takeout. And social gatherings will be restricted to 6 people. And Kate Brown isn't playing. She said, for the last 8 months, I've been asking Oregonians to follow the letter and spirit of the law, and we've not chosen to engage law enforcement. At this point in time, unfortunately, we have no other option. That's profound.
She's okay, right. Bob, here's the question.
And the county, is on the edge of getting to there.
Well,
go ahead, Todd.
Okay, just real quick, because, you know, I made a joke about it Monday. I think I called in Monday about, you know, the president getting his things and you know, leaving immediately because it doesn't matter. I use profanity and whatnot, but blah, you know, whatever. But seriously, look how many people in this administration are infected now and are going to be infected. Because once you get, it starts to multiply. Once you get a certain amount of cases, unless you're really taking preventive measures, it's just going to increase exponentially after that point. And that's where we are in the White House, in our center of government. Now, and it's two things with that. Trump needs to leave, like, really soon, like right after Thanksgiving, because they have to disinfect the White House. Everybody around there is sick. Everyone. It's in there. It's embedded now. It's obvious. There's no way around that. They got to disinfect that. So that being said, that's our leadership, right? How do you convince almost 40% of this population that this is what we need to do? That's my question. And like, we all have good answers here. Like, if people did what we're talking about, we'd be okay. But they're not. Yeah, they, Todd, just say it's Todd, God's will. Or, I'm sorry?
Todd, that 40% you're talking about, Sleepy Joe ain't my president. Right?
But that's not Jermaine's. Well, fine. He's not the president. But guess what? He might know more than that person, but they don't want to accept facts. That's what I'm saying. This is dangerous. How are we going to do this? See, this is my point. If we could separate ourselves from these people, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take, boxcars or what, but they need to be, as Bob has said, they need to be deprogrammed. No matter what you say to them, they come up with something, well, it's just a conspiracy, or you're just making that up. Or, you know, I'm telling you, water is wet. No, it's not. Trump said it's dry, and I believe Trump.
So, Todd, do you think there's some way that we in Oregon should close our border with Idaho? I don't think that's constitutional.
No, but they announced Washington, Oregon, and California governors announced today that if you're traveling into their states from somewhere else, you should quarantine yourself for 14 days.
Right, but they did that. We did it early, like New York did that earlier. I think that could be done except for truckers, and this is what I'm concerned about. If we all notice, everybody has seen this, because I've been talking with folks. If you notice, there's little spots here and there, even still in the supermarket, where just things are missing. You know, not everything, but
some clean products and stuff.
Right, all kinds.
But most of the toilet paper's back in my store.
Wipes, right. I think I still have a tough time sometimes with wipes.
It's still hard to get rubbing alcohol and alcohol swabs for like people who have to test their blood sugar and things like that. Couldn't find any of those anywhere the other day when I went looking for them. My daughter out in New Mexico is worried because she's got a brand new 2-month-old baby, and she's worried about being able to get formula and diapers for him because people will go out and behave like panic monkeys and buy everything.
Well, Bob, this goes back to what you just said, you know, when you came back from taking care of your business. This is what the federal government is for. This is why we need the National Guard. We need to just slow everything down, and we need folks to go to factories. We have to have fuel. We have to have, you know, food, some food. But there's some things the government can do. You know, everybody has certain bills that have to be taken care of. It doesn't seem that complicated to me, especially when we have a country that refuses to provide health care for people. What are you supposed to do? The government says you've been around somebody or you are sick, so you must stay away from others for 2 weeks. So what does that mean? Most people don't have $400 in the bank. Most people live from paycheck to paycheck. Most people are going to miss their rent, miss their car payment. So you're going to have homeless, sick people on the street. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? This is not hard to figure out.
Well, your neighbor, David, Todd, says they will not wear masks. People are not wearing masks around here. No way will they wear masks now when Biden takes over. People still say it's a hoax. And it just...
See?
And I can compare that. I can compare that with West Virginia. Separate topic, but... recently, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, they asked him if he accepted Joe Biden as president-elect, and he said, as far as acknowledging that the election is over, I do not do that. We want to be absolutely knowing that the votes cast were legal votes, and we all want our election process to be absolutely sound. And yet he's completely certain that his election was solid because, well, he got reelected. And the Republicans have super majorities in both houses of our legislature. So he has no doubt as to the soundness of that part of the election. He's just, it's just Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona and Nevada that he's not sure knew how to do an election right. But we here in West Virginia, we know how to hold election. Is I just don't know if they do. And he's all, and by the way, he's pissed off too, because apparently the governor of Pennsylvania and folks up in the Commonwealth can check me on this, has included West Virginia on a watch list of people coming into the Commonwealth. You know, because we share a rather substantial state line with Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you got that long sliver.
Yeah, well, we got the northern panhandle that sticks up into PA, and then you've got at least two, maybe I think yeah, two, maybe three counties worth running east to west, and then up there in the north and in the eastern panhandle, we got a little connection between Berkeley, I think Berkeley County and Pennsylvania.
But Jim's pissed off about that. They got a lot of nerve. It ain't like we're dirty people. I don't know that he said that, but he ain't happy. But here in this state, there's an outbreak at the Stevens Correctional Center in McDowell County. 42 cases confirmed with 92 pending in a jail. And I guess Dr. Clay Marsh, who is our COVID czar here in West Virginia, he'll probably be without a job soon. Because he said, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice said, the big spike in numbers is driven by the fact that we've tested 11,000 people Tuesday. But it takes 3 to 5 days to get results back still in this state. A few are 24-hour turnaround. And so Dr. Clay Marsh jumped in and said, no, it's not just a proportion of more tests, more positive cases. There's actually more disease in West Virginia. COVID-19 rates are continuing to increase, and that tells us that West Virginia, while people have done well and we're so proud of our citizens' actions and working together as a community of West Virginians, that we need to step it up. Well, I don't know. Maybe Clay Marsh doesn't get around much. And Morgantown's pretty hot with it, so he may stay close to ground. But the fact of the matter is, like I said yesterday, none of our cops mask. Our county sheriffs don't mask. Our state police don't mask. And the only time people do wear masks is if they're going into a big grocery store or, you know, Wally World, Kroger, something like that. And then they mostly mask. But a significant proportion of those are wearing their mask as a chin strap or have it down below their nose. And there's no...
I saw that on the bus the other day. I'm like, dude, really? Really, man. I wanted to say something, but I didn't. It was ridiculous.
You just say, you know, masks work better if you cover your nose.
Is that how you wear your underwear?
Oh, good line. Wait a minute. You're doing good tonight, Chris. Darlene sent me a note saying to say hello to Todd for her. She said, I respect his input greatly and really enjoy when he calls in to conversate with you, as well as when he graces Friday on the front porch with his presence and input. Thanks, Todd, says Darlene.
Wow, thanks, Darlene. That's a hell of a compliment.
Steve,
Bob, anybody else who's a Southerner? I guess I'm a Southerner now too. I am. I guess. I mean, come on. So this is a Southern thing, where I guess maybe not. I don't know. Where folks aren't. They just don't want to wear a mask. You have a certain amount of people who do, but it's just as you described it here, where we go into a name brand supermarket. I mean, it's just like you described it, Bob. Because, you know, I guess we're all the same. There's certain things you get from Dollar General, certain things you get from Dollar Tree, and then certain things you go to the pig and the line of food, you know. You just have to, that's the way people live. And in Dollar General, the people working, the Dollar Tree, I had to stop going there for a few days because the workers weren't wearing masks and it's stagnant air. And I'm just looking around at these people like, what is wrong with you? I just don't get it. Have you given up? If you gave up, just leave. Go.
Could I make an observation, Todd? I think this has to do with the cantankerousness of Southerners. Y'all ain't going to make me do nothing what I don't want to do. And I don't see, I mean, we don't have a particularly large community of color here in West Virginia. One of the whitest states in the union, as a matter of fact. maybe. So I can't say, but my guess is that when you go down, down behind, and I'm behind the corn pone curtain, but that you see more people of color wearing their masks than you do white folks. And the fact of the matter is, the message has gone out into the black community and the Hispanic community and the indigenous community that this thing is death. But in a way, well, it used to be you'd see a bumper sticker, and I still see them now and then. What does it go? God said it, or the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's been replaced by Trump said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's faith, not science, for people. And this is, you know, this is an attitude fully 100 and 200 years old in the South. Y'all ain't going to make me do nothing I don't want to do. Whether it's protecting the community from a freaking plague or not engaging in slavery. Same.
Or moonshine.
Yeah. You can't tell me I can't make my own liquor. I won't make my own liquor. I'll make my own liquor. Better than that store-bought anyway.
I don't know how many times I heard that.
Making your own liquor for your own consumption. Making your own liquor for your own consumption to me is a different thing. On this mask stuff, got to thinking that people who call themselves progressive, liberal, left Democrat, whatever, tend to be of a philosophy of trying to improve the entire society. The people who lean Republican, right wing, whatever you want to call them, are into self-importance. And so what we've got here is an incredible mix between people who are very self-important and people who want to benefit society. And I'm thinking back to the World War II, when there were ration cards and all kinds of different things. And people saved for the war effort, victory gardens, all that kind of thing. The progressive element or the democratic element were the ones who embraced that more fully than the conservative right-wing folk. And what we've got now is just a hell of a lot more right-wing folk than we had back then. And that is the real problem. And Trump is simply the uber right-wing, I got mine, fuck you, mentality, and making it appropriate for other people to fall in line with that. So, I mean, I wear my mask not so much to protect me, because we know that's not quite as good, but to protect other people. And people who don't want to do good things for the entire country are the ones who won't wear their masks. And to me, the best thing to do is let them fuckers die out.
Roger.
Yeah, you know, I
yeah, but what about the people they take with them, Roger?
Well, that's why you stay home, you isolate, and you reduce your contact as much as is humanly possible. I mean, I go days and days and days at a time and never leave my property.
I only go to town once a week. Now I don't even have to leave my house if I don't want to. They have delivery services now here. We just got DoorDash, and we got Instacart.
Well, here's a good example coming from Arnold in PA. So 7 miles away are two auto parts stores, a Napa owned by a local Republican family, you know, Bible on the dashboard type. And immediately across the street is an Advance Auto corporate hellhole. The corporation has spit shields, social distancing lines, all kinds of protective measures. The Napa has nothing. No masks, no signs, no nothing. They do have gallons of hand sanitizer for $50, LOL, but no provisions on the premises. That speaks volumes. And yeah, Lou followed up with some the news story from PA. PA adds West Virginia and Ohio to travel advisory. The state of Pennsylvania has added West Virginia and Ohio to its travel advisory list. The department highly discourages, to the extent practical, non-essential travel to and from these states while they meet the travel advisory criteria. Non-essential travel, according to the PA Department of Health, non-essential travel to and from Ohio and West Virginia is highly discouraged by the Pennsylvania Department of Health. So, there we go. And it speaks volumes. And so, I don't know who isn't telling Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice what he still can do. But he doesn't know, because he said he doesn't know. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's South Carolina, West Virginia, or any other state, you're going to, you know, we don't do care that it's not worth $500 to de-virtue signal that you don't believe in no masks. And Dr. Clay Marsh talking about how people in West Virginia have done so well. Bullshit. And I think I figured out the answer, Todd. The reason they'll wear their masks at Walmart and Kroger's is because there's enough staff there to kick their ass if they don't. And they know that there's an authority structure in Walmart and Kroger. On the other hand, in our Dollar General, at any given time, there's only two or three people on site, employee-wise. And so they figure they got them outnumbered. And at the Rippy Mart, there may be a great big sign that's 2.5 feet wide by a foot tall on the door that says, "Please wear a mask." But they don't make the employees wear them. So why should I? And I think that's just the reality of it. And you've got to, maggots hear only through their buttocks. You got to kick them in the ass to save their own miserable lives and to keep them from killing others. Because, you know, I'd like to stay home. I don't get to. Because there are things that we constantly need. And I'm the one who goes out. And I take every precaution. I wear gloves. I wear a mask. Hell, I hand sanitize the gloves. But it's still, it's more prevalent in the South. There are morons everywhere who don't wear masks. Most people around here do, and of those who don't, they don't necessarily think of themselves as lesser than. Quite to the contrary. They just aren't buying into what they think of as a liberal conspiracy, which goes right back to the doorstep of Carcass Horalius. I also see it in poor people who just don't seem like they can barely feed themselves. But it didn't stop them from having 3 or 4 kids. I'll shut up now. Starting to sound like a Republican. I understand what you're getting at, James, but when you're talking about the less fortunate, it's also a matter of bothering to teach. And there's really been, at least here, I think it's probably been significantly better in, say, more civilized states, you know, California, New York, New England, but in states like this, there is next to no effort whatsoever to teach people how to wear a mask. If you were really serious about it, and let's say your corporate Rippy Mart, you do trainings for your staff and you say, if you do wish to continue to be employed here, you will wear a mask and you will tell people to wear a mask. And if they do not wear a mask, you will ask them to leave. I mean, there's still a sign on the doors that says no more than 2 people in the store at a time. There were 12 in the store when I stopped today.
Another commonality.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the same. This is the fascist Nazi South.
And just to, yeah,
block,
just,
they,
just to give you an idea, your neighbor David says masks. All of the food delivery drivers who come to my house who are black wear masks. 1/3 of the white drivers do. Ding, you know. And Matt in San Francisco says, supply chains have been affected since March. Based on where items are made and sourced, some regions and factories are locked down. The trucking system has been affected due to the increased volume of things being shipped. People's shopping patterns and how they consume have been altered. The system is continually having to adjust to these changes. Certain products will continue to have sporadic availabilities. The supply chains also need to be addressed by the government in a concerted and subsidized way. The reason things are still in flux is because every company is addressing this separately and there's no coordinated effort. Again, it goes back to the government response or lack thereof. Not many people address this, but the mass movement of goods and products will continue to be interrupted until we get serious about addressing this centrally. And Matt knows of whence he speaks. And on, you add in on top of this that a bunch of petulant, pouty, pissed off, drop-dead, dirt-ignorant maggot truckers are saying, we're going to shut the country down and teach them damn stupid liberal cities not to vote for that commie socialist pinko mercantilist Zoroastrian atheist baby killer Joe Biden. And we've got a perfect storm of stupidity that is raging right alongside and parallel to the pandemic in this country. They don't want to get well. I don't understand it, but they sincerely don't. And, you know, now my daughter has me worried, and I'm going to see if I can't send her some. I'm going to find out what brand of formula my little grandson takes and, you know, try to ship her some. Because I can't stand the idea of that little fella going hungry. Can't stand it. It's awful. And, by the way, David says, no masks in Walgreens. Last time I was there, 5 people didn't mask even with the sign on the door telling them to wear them. Because, and that's because, David, they don't enforce it.
See, David is really money. He's not far from me at all, I don't think.
No.
You know, it's just.
Y'all can probably throw rocks at each other.
Yeah. You know, it's really, this is, well, you know, it's not happy news. It's not good news, but this is good, solid data now we're dealing with. There is a solid pattern that we see. Corporate stores are following, you know, or trying to follow good policy. Trying to.
Yeah.
If they have enough. Because, you know, a lot of these Dollar Generals, like the newer ones, I don't know, there's different kinds. You know, that's a good business model. These Dollar Generals are everywhere. The newer ones, depending on where you are, you know, they have more employees. Some of the older ones do not.
Well, and you know it's an effective model because Walmart tried to copy it. You've seen those Walmart neighborhood markets?
Absolutely.
Those are just a different version of a Dollar General.
And I've been looking for peroxide for 2 weeks. And then when I find it, I have to get 3, you know, because other people need it too. And the Dollar General the Dollar Tree had it. And I was shocked because Dollar General had been out for weeks. You know, there's never any in wherever. And I'm not paying $4. You know what I mean?
No, don't. Todd. Shoot Bob an email if you need peroxide or any. I don't know, for whatever reason, I guess these people here are just dumb, but I can get any of that. And I'll send it. I'll comp it and send it to you, man. You know, my wife works for the post office, so it's not a problem. She has to go there every day anyhow, man.
Well, I will keep that in mind. And,
yeah, if you ever need any supplies.
That's a cowbell for Steve. My wife works at the post office. She has to go there every day anyway. Whether she wants to or not. Yes, Sparky.
Jack, she wears a mask. Check, see if it works.
I'm sorry, what?
Jack needs to do a mic check, see if he's.
Oh, yeah, I saw Jack was. I was getting ready to come around to him. You there, Jack?
I'm on a new mic and headphones. Can you hear me?
You sound really good.
Okay, it's. I forget who. It's a woman, and she got a new mic with a USB, but I got the same mic except it's not USB. I have it running through a gizmo, and then I have my headphones running out the gizmo. It's a, what is it, a Audio Technica something, the one that the side mic or whatever.
Yeah.
Side input. But anyway, yeah, all I wanted to add is there's been a big push by the right on individual rights. And I got to adjust my headphones here. I don't know what's... Oh, I know. It's going to mute. It's probably muting my output when I input or something from Skype. But anyway, there's been this huge push of individual rights. Like, that's way, way more important than the community, you know. And I think that's a lot of where this selfishness comes from, you know. Like, yeah, why should I have, you know, my rights are more important than anything, so I don't have to wear my mask. I don't know anything, you know. And I think they're just using that as an excuse, you know, just like religion, as some kind of excuse to not contribute to the community or not wear the mask or whatever.
Well, I think that there's a sort of negative social pressure to it as well, Jack. They're afraid of being shamed by their maggot neighbors if they're seen wearing a mask. And they're and they're afraid that that if they wear a mask, it's somehow demonstrating their lack of faith in their Almighty.
Yeah.
And that somehow or another, Jesus will pinch their little heads off and throw them down into hell if they get caught wearing a mask. On the other hand, if they die of the Rona and they don't wear a mask, then, well, they're just going to heaven anyway. I mean, yep. There's really not much difference between that and the idiots in Logan's Run showing up for carousel.
Right. on the mic test, I think I've got to figure out how to loop back my microphone back into my headphones as well. But you're coming through when y'all talk. But yeah, I think, yeah, there's a shame. There's that. Oh, okay, that's what you mean by negative social pressure. Okay, yeah,
you must. You're wearing a mask. I bet you voted for Biden.
Yeah, something. Yeah, social pressure, but in a negative, but for negative reasons. Yeah, okay. But you know, you can see that as well when any of them break. Well, heck, when the I've noticed, you know, when the Pope does something they disagree with, boy, they're all of a sudden jumping all over their religious leadership, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it really, if you're a sociologist or an anthropologist, this is a fascinating time. Because it's like that phrase that we don't like, you know, people voting against their own interests, their own best interests. Well, it's a little bit like that. Because you got people taking active measures to self-harm. And almost under almost any other circumstance, that could very well get you a mental hygiene to make sure that you're not going to hurt yourself or others.
Yeah.
And yet this somehow isn't a manifestation of mental illness when I think it pretty plainly is.
Yeah, I always have a problem, you know, delineating what's mental illness and what's just bad, you know. But and also I didn't want to like jump in too much here. I basically got in what I wanted to say. I think Todd was on there or somebody, but I need to fiddle with my loop back here a little bit. But hopefully it's sounding pretty good.
Like I said, you sound real good.
Cool. I don't know what would happen if I tried to put it on external speaker and use this mic, you know, with like latency between interfaces, but it might not be able to cancel out. Skype, you know, does that somehow when you talk.
And by the way, Darlene in Connecticut said, is that Jack talking? And yes, it is. And she says, your Audio-Technica mic sounds great. So, in fact, you might want to share that model number.
Let's see. I'm going to have to. It's been a while since I got it. And it's the first time I've used it for Skype. I've been trying to get music and that kind of thing. Go in, but I've had, you know, one computer is getting older and older and less useful. And then I also had to, you know, move around equipment instead of buy more cables. But let me get the paperwork. I'm going to mute for a sec and then I'll
jump back in.
Maybe I'll put it on.
Just send it to me in an email.
Or okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
We're about 29 minutes away from the end of the program. We have $40 to go to finish Joey and Giraffe's Moran March challenge. Todd got us started on that. We got $40 to go on that, and then that'll leave us at about $200 to finish the week. So you know, maybe another Friday on the front porch community made miracle. I don't know, but that's where we are. And hopefully, at the very least, the challenge will be met because that's pretty huge. So thanks in advance to anybody who jumps in helping on that. Let's see. Is there anybody else in the chat room that I haven't?
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Hey, I just want to jump in and say hi. Well, it's been a week.
It's been a week. What made it a week for you?
Where do I start? Was it the denying of Biden actually winning the presidency? And then I had to hear a bunch of elected officials run around and kiss his butt and claim that, all this election fraud. And then I had to hear on Pompeo, and then I had to hear Kevin McCarthy, and it just went on from there.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy is particularly odious, and
to add, you know, my office, like here in Virginia, just started going back to 5-day a week work week from when we were on a rotating schedule. And now all the cases are like going up, you know, on a top of a million. So I'm a little worried.
You got a right to be.
So, yep.
Well, that made me think, I mean, I saw a story, I just kind of blew past it earlier today, about Gavin Newsom apologizing for going to a party in Napa Valley that had 12 people. And he said, we should have modeled better pandemic safety behavior. And that's true. It's true. But by the same token, what's the inauguration of Joe Biden going to look like? There's not going to be any huge electoral or inaugural balls, are there?
I hope not. But with this MAGA million man march that's coming tomorrow, I can only imagine. Once the results get certified and it turns out Biden is, in fact, you know, the president, I'm wondering how they're going to react then.
I heard they've already started building a viewing stand at the White House for the parade.
What the hell? Are they, I mean, is it going to be like how they're doing the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Or nobody's out there.
Heard that the other day. I didn't hear any about them building the stand for the Capitol or anything. But you think that they've got all that stuff stored away? It's all marked and everything, and all they got—it's like an erector set. All they got to do is put it back together.
Hmm. maybe just that they don't have anyone out in the audience or watching it in person.
Well, I mean, how do you do a parade in a pandemic?
Good point. I mean, that's how are they doing Macy's this year?
There's nothing that says we've got to have a big showy inauguration. The Chief Justice can show up anywhere and administer the oath, and you know, we got this thing, and we've had it for a while, and we've gotten pretty good at it, called television.
Do like they did with Reagan in 84.
Oh, that was because the temperatures were so cold, he had to take it indoors. They had record low temperatures that year.
What do you guys think is going to happen tomorrow?
I don't know. Hey, is that you, Todd?
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
It's a weekend. Nothing much will happen.
Hi, Todd. I love you.
Go play golf.
Love you, too. No, but wait a minute. See, this is we forgot about this because I didn't really forget. But remember, tomorrow is the Maggot March, right?
Right. Supposedly.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't know if they're going to show up. Who knows? You know, we'll see what happens. But
I'm already there. From all that mess, so I will let y'all know how that turns out. But right now they're issuing warnings on Twitter for the other side to just not show up because they're gunning for a fight, and Trump wants an excuse to declare martial law and all this other mess. And it's 2020, so I'd rather just not test it.
Is he in
What's
fact
the
building a moat
like?
Around the White House?
Huh? They're coming to D.C.
I was asking on Tom Hartman today. He was talking about a moat around the White House.
Yeah, they're digging a trench on the White House grounds.
What?
They are digging one?
Yeah, they're digging some sort of fucking trench on the White House grounds. I don't know. Maybe it's going to have sharks with freaking laser beams in it.
Somebody throw him in that moat then. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Damn.
Well, there'll be crocodiles. Where everybody's gonna have to play Pitfall. Remember that video game Pitfall?
Oh yeah.
In order to get to the White House, you have to jump on the head of the crocodile.
Oh my God!
They're digging a burn pit, Bob.
A what?
Oh, it's
pit?
A bird pit.
A bird pit.
You so it's burn not a all, moat, all it's a burn pit. All the stuff that's been contaminated and everything, and all their paperwork and. Somebody said they're going to back up the shredder trucks to the White House.
Well, Dick Cheney, they did that for Dick Cheney.
Get rid of the evidence.
Wow.
That's okay. Somebody's got copies of all that stuff. Probably that Pecker guy, Peckerhead.
Pecker?
Yeah,
David Pecker.
That's his real name.
National Enquirer guy. Oh, and by the way, Roger.
His name is Pecker.
Yes,
is that
his name. His name's David Pecker. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say it.
I'm
gonna be nice.
It's just it's too easy. It's too easy. Hey,
it's
thanks.
Almost like Anthony Weiner got caught sexting his interns. It's like really.
Yeah. Let's see. Will in Chicago, thank you very kindly for finishing off Joey and Giraffe's Moran March Challenge. And now, at about 20 minutes left in the program, all we got left is $200 to finish the week. So that's huge. Thanks for meeting the challenge, Will. Thank you so very kindly, and please stay safe.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah,
I just wanted to ask a question. Well, I'm trying to think of what's a better host for the Million Maggot March. Would it be a dead hyena carcass or Ayn Rand's gravesite?
I'll take the latter. God.
So we expect to see the Devil's Diaper and the swastika in full display tomorrow.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. In fact, there was a story from a couple of days ago that I didn't get to
there's kind of a there's kind of a the term I saw was a civil war going on among the Proud Boys.
Oh,
well, they made a remark about how the ones with the Hispanic Nazis anymore, and I'm like, did you think that we thought you weren't?
Yeah, that's the story. Civil war brewing inside Proud Boys as the top leader says he's done pretending he isn't a Nazi.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that the guy, the Cuban guy?
Wait. You didn't just say that.
Didn't just say what?
He's done pretending he is not a Nazi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it.
So here's the statement. Due to the recent failure of Proud Boy Chairman Enrique Tarrio to conduct himself with honor and courage on the battlefield, it has been decided that I, Kyle Chapman, reassume my post as president of Proud Boys effective immediately. We will no longer cuck to the left by appointing token Negroes as our leaders. We will no longer allow homosexuals or other undesirables into our ranks. We will confront the Zionist criminals who wish to destroy our civilization. We recognize that the West was built by the... Wait. This is the best part. We recognize that the West was built by the white race alone, and we owe nothing to any other race.
Dude, the freaking assholes on the Mayflower would have fucking up and died had the natives not saved their ass.
Yes, there would have been no foothold on this continent.
Yeah, because those hard scrabble white aristocrats laid every brick of every mansion. They picked every bowl of cotton and every sheaf of rice and every wad of tobacco.
Yeah, because they all harvested that shit themselves, right?
Hard-working white people.
And all the veggies from California.
Roger, I was going to tell you, or ask you, have you ever made salt raisin bread?
Yes, I have, but it was in a group project kind of number, not all by myself.
I've
read the recipe, and it shouldn't be that hard to do.
Yeah, it's worth the effort to go, because I want you to know that this salt raisin bread that the lady makes across the river is fantastic, toasted with some of your jams and jellies on them.
Well, I just might get a day or two off from the farm and be able to brew some up. But now I've gotten into the time of year that if I want to do any rising anything, I got to bring out a seed germination mat, set it on the counter, plug it in, and put a towel over the top of it to get it warm enough to rise.
Well, that you wouldn't be ill-advised to do that anyway, because the nature of the process for making salt rising bread requires you to you start out by scalding milk. And then you have to keep, and then once you've got everything put together for the salt rise, I mean, salt really has nothing to do with it. It's just what it is. It's just what it's called. But you've got
rising. No, it's just a little bit more salt than bread.
But you've got to keep the salt, you got to keep the rising mixture, that scalded milk and sugar and everything. You've got to keep it between 90 and 100 degrees for about 24 hours anyway. So your seed germination mat would probably be perfect for that.
Yeah.
Or a light on, leaving the light on in your oven, just an electric oven, just leave the light on for about 2 hours, and that'll bring it up to about 100 degrees. And then you put it in, put the stuff in the oven and leave it there for a day or so with the light still on.
Big air pockets?
What, Todd?
Large air pockets. Is that a Ford for large? This sounds interesting.
No, salt rising bread is really, really dense. And that's part of why it toasts so nicely or grills so nicely, and it really, really stands up to a quality jam or jelly or what have you.
What is the thing? The only reason I piped in, because this is the second time in 1 week that you brought that up. So it must be, you know, obviously something going on.
It's fantastic.
If you Google salt rising bread, there's all kinds of recipes for it.
Yeah.
They're all pretty much the same, but
It's a long process.
And the
is that different than soda bread, guys?
Big
is
different.
Is it different than soda bread?
Yes.
Yeah, way different.
Oh, okay.
Very different.
Okay. And the big, you know, the first trick is getting the hang of scalding the milk.
That's what I was curious about. What is scalding? I don't even understand what that means.
What? It means to warm up milk to the point where, like, it's forming little bubbles around the edge of the pan, but you can't. But you don't let it get hotter than that. You don't let it boil, and you don't want it. Oh. You don't want to repasteurize it, because you're going to introduce stuff to it, and you want it to grow. So and milk will stick in a pan if you look at it hard.
Well, that's like making a white sauce. You don't want to break it. If you heat the sauce up too much, you break the sauce.
So basically, you use really, really low heat in your saucepan, and you let the you just watch the milk like a hawk. And the minute that you start,
it'll get hot real fast. You got to pull it. Be ready to pull it off of the heat.
Yeah, and the minute you see a full ring of bubbles form around the outside edge, next to the neck where the milk touches the side walls of the pan, your milk is scalded.
Okay.
And it's also the same process. It's also the same process that you use if you're going to make traditional real corn pone.
But on that scalding, is there a temperature they give you for that?
I suppose there is, Roger. But for the people who've done it for eons, it's eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I was thinking was
the milk will get big bubbles, and it'll like where you're making a white.
No, they're tiny bubbles. No, Todd, they're tiny bubbles. Tiny. They're just little tiny bubbles around the outside edge of the milk where the milk touches the pan.
Tiny bubbles.
Whoa.
Tiny bubbles. Tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles. Tiny scrubbing bubbles.
I guess.
Now, before we get out of here, did you get my email about healthcare?
Yes.
Okay. We'll deal with it later. Not right now. It's too late.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it here in front of me, but
I guess it's more of a wish list. Well, what would we like to see the agenda be in the first 100 days, and that stuff would be included. But that's for a different day. We only got 12 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That, and if we don't capture the Senate, we'll be buried under Hunter Biden investigations from now until 2022. But I'm being really cynical.
Well, Joe Biden could quicken things up a whole hell of a lot and put Hunter in charge of the COVID response. then all we'd have to say is, well, Trump showed us how to put family members in. It must be right if your family member, he put Jared in, his son-in-law. He didn't have any conflict of interest with anybody. So how could Hunter have any conflict of interest?
Well, that and the arrogance of the Republicans saying that they were already going to jack up his freaking cabinet positions. I'm like, you assholes or something else.
Yeah, no surprise there. I mean, Joe will have plenty to do with his pen, his executive order pen. But you're right.
Tiny bubbles.
Fucking witch. The boss who's been in charge of education problems.
I saw the funniest meme about Betsy DeVos and Jill Biden on Facebook. I about peed myself. It was a white dude nature photographer who was out there with a tripod and a camera in a field. And I guess he was trying to take a picture of a black bear. And the bear started chasing, and the guy started running in the field, and they labeled the guy running as Betsy DeVos, and they labeled the bear as Dr. Jill Biden.
Wow.
Because she has, a doctorate in education or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure. She's got a doctor's degree, but it's not an MD.
But I cannot believe that Jill would allow Joe to put anybody in charge of the Department of Education that wouldn't be qualified.
She's got a fucking kindergarten degree, the fucking bitch.
That's awesome.
What?
If she's lucky.
Wait, who said that?
She got her kindergarten degree.
Joey said that. And Jeffrey and I have been drinking, I'll have you know. So fuck Betsy DeVos, that dumb bitch.
Damn, Joey, slow down, buddy. You need to keep your liver for next year.
Betsy DeVos. Ralph's just sent a link along, and I'm sharing it into the Skype chat and sharing it into the Horn chat room, a traditional classic recipe for salt rice and bread.
Ooh, awesome.
Mm.
Joey, how the hell are you, man?
How about a fucking salt rice in Long Island, God damn it? I want a salt rice.
Oh, I already had that. No, Long Island iced teas.
Well, just put it where it is, man.
So
where the hell is Billable Rick when I need it?
Yeah, I think Billable's been having some tech problems lately, as well as maybe some a persnickety IT department there at
Can someone come pick me and Jeffrey up? We've been drinking.
Where are you drinking, Joey?
We're drinking at Jalapenos in Barberton, Ohio.
Oh my! Oh my!
Way too easy, buddy.
You know, if you've never seen a giraffe stagger, it's not something you want to contemplate.
You don't want to be under it.
No.
It's worse when a giraffe is high, I tell you.
Well, thanks for making the challenge, you and Giraffe, Joey. Thanks for making the challenge. Will and
Todd. I owe it all to Giraffe.
Will and Todd.
Guys, not there yet.
Yeah, Will and Todd finished that off. Thank you both.
Todd's the man.
Suffolk County, Long Island.
Suffolk County. Yeah, buddy. I know where that is. That's fucking farm country. That's farm country, buddy.
Wow. Wait a minute. Don't you guys have to wear bear signs up there in New York?
A beefalo. Beware of beefalo. Oh, that's Connecticut.
Oh, Megan, you've been awarded a cowbell by Darlene in Connecticut. She said, Megan's hilarious, saying that Joey and Giraffe need to save their liver. LOL, that deserved a cowbell, so. Jack sent along the make and model of his mic headphone. It's the Audio-Technica AT2020. It's a cardioid condenser side address mic with an XLR, not a USB. So it's going into a board, and it has to have phantom power.
I don't know about anybody else, but I was wondering why Jack was doubting himself. He sounded like he was right there in a studio next to you.
He did, didn't he? He sounded better than Jeffrey.
Okay.
Well, and he's using a semi-pro rig. It's a Focus. It's a mic, an Audio-Technica AT2020, going into a Focusrite Scarlett 8i6 third generation 8-in 6-out USB audio interface.
Holy shit, that sounds like God at the Wind.
Right now,
I'm God at the Wind.
I'm sorry, what?
This one, these old microphones, they look like a capsule, like a pill capsule, like an old tiny.
Yeah.
Right, the old school ones, right, Todd?
Right.
Yeah, it's on the
RE20, the Electro Voice RE20 that I use is a front address. I love those side address mics. I think they just look cool because they hang there and you look highfalutin. You look bona fide.
That's it.
Oh, wow. Shit. Here comes my wife to pick me up. Oh, Christ. And Jeffrey's right here by my side. What the fuck am I going to do? Hey, where the fuck are you?
Shot.
Doubles here.
You're
what
in,
is Jeffrey?
You're in trouble now, Joey.
Oh, Christ.
Jeffrey's got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy.
He spiked. Giraffe spiked your drink. It's not like he can deny it.
Yeah.
Giraffes don't have voices.
He got roofied by a giraffe.
Yeah, and Darlene says that's the AT2020 mic I have as well, except I have the USB version.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, is that billable?
Yeah, you billable?
Rick, come pick me up. God damn it. Before my wife gets here.
Some of us have to bill hours, you know, okay? We can't just, like, lollygag all afternoon on the phone on a Friday afternoon.
Hey, it's nighttime, buddy.
Clock your specific time zone. How y'all doing?
Man, you know he's been drinking all day, Rick.
Yeah? As your lawyer, I advise you to start drinking and continue to do so for the next 24 hours, okay?
What are you talking about? For the next, let's see, 21, 22, 52... 69. Start drinking and continue drinking for the next 69 days.
Oh my God.
And make sure your blood alcohol level never goes below a dangerous level.
Are we past alcohol point, or do we just need to start getting into hard hitting drugs here? I mean, to survive the next from now until January. I don't know.
Well, you need to move to move to Oregon. We decriminalize all drugs. Yeah.
It's like a drug free zone.
Anything you want.
Drug zone, I should say.
Oh, by the way, Nitwit Nero's declared victory again.
Where?
Twitter, of course. No one's actually heard his voice. Wait. Get the hockey puck.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Is this fucker ever going to go away?
Hold on. Get the hockey puck. Okay. 700,000 ballots were not allowed to be viewed in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, which means, based on our great constitution, we win the state of Pennsylvania.
What the hell is he pulling this shit?
What is he smoking, man? I want some.
I don't know. I don't know if I want. No.
Probably not.
If it makes you that stupid, I don't want no part of it. He's probably
like the bath salts, you know. He may be into the bath salts.
Nothing makes you that stupid.
No, he's probably honking on some. He's probably honking on some crocodile that his buddy Pootie sent to him.
Oh, here you go.
Got some fucking mud butt.
So, Joey, what does Jaffrey think of Biden's landslide in the Electoral College this time around, as much as Trump had last time?
Giraffe's just high on life. He just loves it.
I mean, I bet his head is in the clouds for sure, right?
Yeah, you're gonna come pick us up before my wife gets here.
I thought she was already there, dude.
So where are you, Joey?
No. I'm in Barberton, Ohio at the Jalapeno's Mexican restaurant. We've had a little too much tonight.
Well,
margaritas.
Hey,
call an Uber.
No, God damn it, Long Island.
Dude, Long Island iced teas.
That's alcohol.
No better than that, Joey.
You're going to be in the hospital.
The hell we don't. It's better than dying of the fucking corona. You might as well die of something.
So you're just trying to disinfect yourself, I guess, right?
Yeah, you're drinking disinfectant. He's drinking disinfectant, everyone. He's just taking the advice of the President of the United States.
Yeah. You want to boot some bleach, man? We'll hook you up.
Wait, hold on. That's right up there with the... Yeah, that's right up there with the 8-year-old piece of bubblegum. You want to boot some bleach, bro?
Oh, my God.
Oh, and speaking of which, and for the female contingent of the Horn Family Studio congregation, I don't know if y'all saw this story, but there has been this is not a joke. This appears to be real. Scientists have discovered an orange mushroom in recent Hawaiian lava flows.
What?
What?
Yeah, it's orange mushroom.
That's 2000. Oh shit! There's life everywhere in the universe. Oh shit!
Yeah, but it's what this thing does. It's what this thing does.
Oh. Uh-oh.
It grows in found it growing in recent lava flows in Hawaii. I don't know, maybe Ken can help us out with this or something. But the thing is the aroma.
Right.
Now, hold on. One. This is big news.
Uh-oh.
The aroma of this mushroom.
I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
The aroma of this mushroom induces orgasms in women.
Oh, my God.
But not men.
Damn.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it smells like cum, Bob.
Well, something good came as year 2020.
That's some onion shit, man.
Basically, the smell.
It'll make it all worth it, huh?
Hold on. Basically, the smell of this shroom makes the female body think it's having sex.
Oh, my God.
And then here's the bad news.
Uh-oh, there's always bad news, man. God damn it.
Well, okay, so the science on this, smelling the shroom, they did a scientific study on this, because of course they did.
Yeah.
And half of the study participants orgasmed when they smelled the mushroom. It's published in the International Journal of Medicinal Mushrooms, and the problem is it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It does that for women. But it does that for women, but guys just think it smells like horse shit.
I thought you were going to say it makes guys shit. For a second there, Bob.
No. The guys think it smells like horse shit.
Okay. Oh my God.
And they are, and guys are absolutely repulsed by the smell.
Well, there you go.
Oh my God.
Well, it's the Venus Mars dynamic there, Bob, between men and women, right?
I'm just trying to figure it.
Figure out how it broke down in that way.
Well, I think Dave. Well, I not think I know. Dave number 11 is a bit of a mushroom expert. But they haven't.
That's an Amanita variety.
I don't know.
Oh, we got them around here, son.
Well, I have a feeling there'll be a lot. When news of this gets more broadly about, you're going to see a lot of amateur mushroom growing.
Wow.
Yeah, but you have to be near a lava flow, Bob, right?
Well, I know, but you can probably simulate that with some sort of
through the lava.
Now, that thing's going to be manufactured.
Well, that's almost like a pepper music, Bob. That's a fan, I tell you.
By the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, I hope Giraffrey has his own stool at the bar. My guess is he's the tallest one bar fly there. Oh,
don't
God.
Say stool.
And then this.
That sounds shitty.
But Darlene said, oh, God, please don't associate orange mushrooms with women. Thanks, Stormy.
Oh, God, no.
I'll never play Mario Kart again, man. She wrote that fucking game.
Stormy's still trying to get wash the stain off of her from that encounter, you know?
God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got a special douche.
I used to like Mario Kart too.
Come on.
I read about a game that looks kind of fun. I think a lot of the hip young kids are playing it. Are y'all familiar with Among Us?
No.
No.
It's kind of a problem solving game. I think everybody's part of an astronaut crew. It's sort of like Clue, only not. And one person in the group is an imposter and bumps off the other crew members. And the trick for the crew members is to figure out who the imposter is. And the trick for the imposter is to kill off all the crew. I may take a run at that. This sounds like it's got real potential to be a quality time vampire. But it's called Among Us, and it's a big deal. It's an online gaming phenomenon right now.
Hey Bob, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I actually saw that through various chains of looking at one thing after another. I made it to Twitch TV, and after a while, found somebody that was playing that. So Twitch TV. Thankfully, one of the new guys on MSNBC said what it is. It's a way to watch other people play games, basically.
Yeah, it is.
And I saw this guy with other people playing that Among Us, on there. I have no idea, how you control it, whether you need keys or a mouse. I couldn't see
that. Yeah, you can play it on your phone.
Oh, okay. So probably just... You could use like slides or touch screen or whatever. But there was a map, and I don't know if you've seen it on actually being played, but I just watched him play it, and it's pretty simple, I guess, if once you get in. But when people really know how to play, and they all know how to play, it goes real fast. It's hard to track, exactly, what's going on, because they already know what they're going to punch. But I think it's pretty simple. I mean, we could probably hook that up with Twitch TV and have part of the group play it.
Yeah, that's one of the things about it is you can set up private rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And play as a group.
Oh, okay. Have you looked at Twitch TV at all, or
not a lot? But I'm familiar with it because someone I know is very busy and active on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just started. I mean, when I first started, I was looking at a musician, and I really had no idea what was going on. I still don't much, but I don't even know if what you were suggesting with that private room. I don't even know if you need Twitch. You probably don't even need Twitch TV to run it.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. To play the game, you don't need Twitch TV. It just blows my mind that people monetize themselves by having people watch them play video games. Wow.
Yeah. Well, the stuff I've been watching is people. People can watch you, like on AOC, it was pretty cool. I didn't see that, but like what I've been watching is like some musicians. So they'll play like live some really good stuff, or they'll do something that keeps people's time occupied during the COVID lockdown. That's, I think, is why some people are doing it. So you get to hear some good music, and then they'll switch to video games with maybe some other stuff in between. So that's all I haven't explored it much, but it makes it real easy for other people to just join in and watch.
I don't know. That was kind of a big thing with World of Warcraft. You could actually watch the best world play. If you got to a certain level, you could actually make money at it just from other people watch you,
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of the program this evening, and I need to send out thanks to our buddy Jug of Punch.
Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Before you go, can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
Ferg, I did a check on California ranch jobs. Just Google search. There's a list that comes up, and I was looking at one. There was a ranch out west of me in Pasquin. I had an apprenticeship job that you lived on the ranch, and you only get like $8.50 a month, but you get all your room and boards paid for. So there might be something like that if he looks at it and searches some things.
Okay, did you send me the link?
No, I didn't. I just figured I'd tell you Google California ranch jobs.
Did it take you to a particular site or?
Yeah, list them all over the state.
Okay. What was the name of the one you saw? Do you know?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, well, we'll have a look. We'll have a look.
We could. So I just thought I'd bring it up for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think, right, Bob, if you get a job like that, you're going to lose your job as an amateur Uber driver, I have, you know.
Very it's very likely. It's very likely.
I guess.
But I think we got to let everything. I know I keep saying this, but goddamn, we got to let everything settle down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's
now's not for major changes, really.
No, this is not.
Hey, Bob, I need a fucking Uber driver to pick me and Jeffrey up.
Bob, do you want to put Berg on an airplane right now?
Take you, Bob, where Jeffrey is.
Precisely no, Chris. That's a great big no.
Yeah.
God. Well, I'm about to go.
Bob, are you coming? Fucking Rick isn't going to do it.
It's a little out of my Uber range there, Joey and Giraffe, dadgummit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You drive all the way down to North Carolina to take Berg to his job.
You aren't Ferg.
That's true. Just some guy with a pet giraffe.
Hey, easy there.
Yeah. Jeffrey's real.
I know he is.
Jeffrey,
in your mind.
Jeffrey lives
just like Tinkerbell.
He's
and Harvey. And Harvey.
Program, Joe. Right.
And Harvey.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. Hey, the back porch will continue after the program closes, but I gotta shut things down here and get the program uploaded. And now that maybe it's a little bit quiet across the river, I gotta run down to the settlements for provisions. I drove by the Walmart parking lot today, and it looked like a stadium parking lot on a game day. And I just kind of went, ooh, no. I'm going to do that. Thank you, Jug of Punch. He said, have some gratitude. Thank you, Jug. That means that we've knocked it down to 185 to finish the week. We got 185 bucks to go to finish the week. And thank you so much to everybody who jumped in this evening. Responding to challenges. Thank you for the challenges to Joey and Rico and to Berg. The big thanks to Scott for the Have a Show on Me that answered Yuki's challenge from last night. Thank you so very much. Thanks to Will in Chicago. Thank you to Todd. Thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you to Faith. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. One and all, thank you. Oh, and by the way, a note coming from Darlene in Connecticut for Joey. Joey, you better watch it when you get home. In your state, your wife will have an opportunity to take Jeffrey out, LOL. Ooh, that's scary. So act accordingly. Be advised, Joey and Giraffe. I think both of you watch your ass, but I think Jeffrey's got a better chance of succeeding at that. Yeah. Shame on me. Sorry about that. And so this brings another broadcast week to a close. We are 13 days away from Thanksgiving, I think. Yeah. And just stay safe, everybody. Please, please stay safe. Please, please, please. Best way to stay safe is staying home. But if you're like me and you have to be out and about, or people have to go to work and things like that, take every safety precaution you can. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Carry hand sanitizer at all times. Wear your gloves. Maintain your social distance, not 6, but 10, 15, 20 if possible. Take Paul from Parts Unknown seriously. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, the three branches of government is the House and the Senate and the Executive, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Oh, and Brand New Malloy on the way in about 45 minutes right here at HeadOn.Live. Best place to listen to the Malloy program when it airs live is HeadOn.Live. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thank you to our chat room moderators, our all volunteer staff, Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.